B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, happy and blessed Thursday morning. It is Thursday morning in the Delaware Valley. I am Rob Motti, and Merry Christmas Eve to everyone. I'm filling in for the cuz, Anthony Gargano. Connor Thomas is here filling in for Andrew Salchunas. And we'll take you till 2 p.m. 610-632-0975 is how you can join the conversation. This is one of my favorite days of the year. I love Christmas. I love Christmas Eve, especially. And having kids makes it even more enjoyable. So I love that part of it. They were able to get mommy, convince them to open one gift already this morning, Connor. Already. They already, is that any kind of violation of any sort?
Before 10 a.m. on Christmas
Eve. That's what
I'm
saying.
Could do the night before you go to bed.
Come on,
10 a.m.
We always open one Christmas Eve night, right?
Right.
After dinner, we sat down. Okay, here's one gift, and then you open the rest. They convinced my wife, Remy, and I think she just wanted to deal with cooking and not listen to me. Yeah. She's like, all right, here's one box.
All right.
You go ahead. You open this one box. They opened the box this morning, right before I left, right around 8 o'clock, 8:30, whatever time it is. And it's going to be fun. It's going to be awesome. We got all kinds of Christmas traditions and stuff like that I want to get into and talk about. We're going to talk about some Christmas music. But we're going to have to get into something that I've been wanting to talk about for 4 days. Connor, I don't know that I've anticipated having a shift any more than I ever have this week. And obviously, it was a nice Sixers win in the season opener last night against the Wizards. So I'm not going to start there. We'll get to that later. Kevin Kincaid, who covers the Sixers and Eagles for Crossing Broad, he's going to join me around 11:30. Les Bowen from the Philadelphia Inquirer will be on at 12:30. And we can do Doug Peterson, right? Doug Peterson is going to be live at 10:30. And this will be an opportunity where I could go Zoom from here. And if we go carry that live, can check in on the Doug Peterson news conference. But this week, the biggest story involved a report on Carson Wentz. So let's clear things up, because there has been so much misinformation put out there. And quite frankly, a lot of it has been absolutely disgraceful that the media cannot differentiate from fact and speculation. And then as a result, fans, you guys are just reacting to media reports. I don't even put it on the fans. It's fans react to what the media reports. And when the media takes speculation as if it were fact, and the Carson haters now think they have ammunition to blow him up, and they did that. Oh, did they blow him up? And they didn't even let the truth stop them at all. They just ran with the speculation. I reported the facts on Sunday afternoon. I continue to report the facts. And hopefully, we can finally put this to an end. So right now, I want to start with Sunday morning and what Adam Schefter said on ESPN. I want you to listen. We do a lot of reacting. We do a lot of blowing out of proportion. We do a lot of speculating. Let's listen to Adam Schefter's exact words on Sunday morning in his appearance on ESPN. Connor, can you play that?
And you got some news about Carson Wentz. What can you tell us?
Well, listen, Jay, here's the situation. We've been talking for the last week to 10 days about how what the Eagles are going to do with Carson Wentz. And I don't think we've flipped it around and said, what is Carson Wentz going to be doing about the Philadelphia Eagles? Because he doesn't sound particularly pleased with being a backup quarterback now or for the long term. And if he's going to be a backup, then I don't know that he'll want to remain in Philadelphia. He could potentially wind up asking for a trade. There are other teams that will be interested in trading for Carson Wentz. There are a lot of options out there. The fact of the matter is, there's still 3 weeks left of the season. It's still going to play out. We're going to see how Jalen Hurts plays in replacement of Carson Wentz. If he plays well and they want to keep him, clearly they're going to have to do something with Carson Wentz. But this is a fluid situation that bears watching that I think needs to be looked at from the prism of Carson Wentz's perspective as much as we talked about it from the Philadelphia Eagles' perspective.
That right there was a speculative report on what may potentially happen in the future. So now let's go over it. Adam says that Carson Wentz, he doesn't sound particularly pleased about being a backup. Well, of course not. He's a competitor. And he, Carson Wentz himself, said after the Green Bay Packers game in which he was benched in the second half, these are Carson's exact words. Obviously, that's frustrating as a competitor, and just the personality that I have, I want to be the guy out there. Carson has not spoken publicly since that. Clearly, from what he said after the game, he wants to be the guy out there. That's frustrating, he said. So when Adam says he doesn't sound particularly pleased about being a backup, everyone should hear that and go, duh. Obviously, he's a competitor. He said it himself. Any starting player who's a competitor of any kind. I'm sure there's starting players at some point that were happy to sit on a bench. But any starting player who has any competitive juices in his body would not be happy being benched. You don't need any sources inside NovaCare, on the team, outside the team bus, on a street corner, hanging out at Carson Wentz's favorite sushi place, or in his hunting circle, or anywhere in the freaking world, from North Dakota to South Philly to South Jersey, to know that a guy as competitive as Carson Wentz wants to play and isn't going to be satisfied standing on a sideline. And here's the truth. If he's happy about being a backup, then that would say something about him. And then we can all criticize a guy for not wanting to play. So that part of the report is obvious. Everyone knows it. Carson himself said it. We should just move on from he's not particularly pleased at being a backup. Part two, in what Adam Schefter said on ESPN Sunday. If he's going to be a backup, I don't know that he'll want to remain in Philadelphia. He could potentially wind up asking for a trade. Whoa. If he's going to be a backup. If is a future scenario. We don't know that yet. Jalen Hurts is playing great. At the time of this report, he had only played one game. He has now played two games. He's invigorated the offense. He looks terrific. He has great poise. He has leadership skill. He's got talent. Who knows what's going to happen in the future? Who knows what's going to happen in the next two games? Carson has that contract situation that makes everything so tough. So that was an if-then scenario. If he's going to be a backup is a future scenario. I don't know that he'll want to remain in Philadelphia. I don't know that he'll want to remain in Philadelphia. Now, that part is conjecture based on the possibility that he would be the backup. And lastly, he could potentially wind up asking for a trade. Speculation. Not a fact yet. Speculation grounded in a strong possibility that this could happen. He could wind up asking for a trade, but no, right now he has not. So the report was speculative. It's reasonable to assume this will happen in the future, but it has not happened yet. Therefore, it's not factual yet. So let's review. Is Carson happy being a backup? No. He said it himself after he was benched that he's frustrated and he wants to be the guy out there. It doesn't take insider knowledge to figure that out. Part two, if he's going to be a backup, I don't know that he'll want to remain in Philadelphia. He could potentially wind up asking for a trade. That is all speculative. It's potentially true. Keyword, potentially. It could potentially be false. It could potentially be true. We don't know what the future is going to hold. My issue is not the report itself. And I spoke to Adam Schefter about this, and I know he came on the show because he does a weekly spot with the morning guys. My issue is the overreaction. And it's not by the fans, because again, you the fans, you the listeners are reacting to what the media puts out there. My issue is the overreaction, the exaggeration, the fabrication by the media who took this common sense story. That's what Adam called it. He called it common sense. An obvious non-story, and really turned it into Carson is selfish for wanting out and leaking it to Schefter 5 hours before kickoff. How dare he try to sabotage the team? That was flat out freaking absurd. And it wasn't the fans fueling that. It was media. Writers ran with it. Radio hosts ran with it. The TV hot takers. Boy, they had a field day with it. And I found out about it Sunday on this station on the pregame show. I'm driving to Dunkin', get my iced coffee. It's a dollar on game day. So I was pretty excited about that for a medium. And I turn it on in the car, and I hear that Carson's getting trashed for being selfish and trying to undermine Jalen Hurts. So what do I do? As a reporter, as someone with insider sources, especially in this particular situation, I do what I'm supposed to do. As an AP writer, I have to clear sources with my boss. So I'm held to a different standard. The person giving me information must have direct knowledge of the information and have a valid reason to remain anonymous. And I have to tell my boss who the person is and why they're telling me the information and why they're not talking about it publicly before I can do anything about it. And my boss said, you don't need to write a story clearing up speculation. I said, all right, but this is going crazy. Can I at least tweet about it? He said, yeah, tweet about it. But we're not going to write a story every time, because we're the AP. We don't write a story every time there's speculative reports put out there. Otherwise, all we would do is be spending time tracing down facts versus speculation. So I said, all right, I'll put the tweet out. Now, I personally am not allowed to, as I said, I have to clear these sources. So I can't use a friend of a friend of a friend. I can't use the Uber driver. I can't use the pizza delivery guy. I can't use the agent of another player on the team. No, I cannot do that. I can't use the equipment manager. It must be someone with direct knowledge of information. And I was immediately told Carson Wentz has said nothing about wanting out to anyone. Carson Wentz is focused on being the best person he can be, the best teammate he can be, getting ready to play in case Jalen Hurts goes down in the first quarter, in the second quarter, whatever. Injuries happen, we know. And he just wants to be ready to play, be the best supportive teammate he can be. And everyone who has been asked about it has said that is the case. Carson also is invested in the community. He's dug his roots in here. He's got his AO1 Foundation, the Thy Kingdom Crumb Food Truck. He's got family and friends who uprooted their lives, who moved here to be part of all the charity work he does. And while he makes a ton of money and he can take care of everybody, all of these things are factors into what will be a future decision. So I checked and I was told he hasn't said he wants out. He's not there yet. He's just focused on the season. He's focused on doing what he can to be the best player and best teammate. And I reported it. And for many, that put an end to it. And it should have put an end to speculation. But the damage was done because the initial reaction that Schefter himself here said yesterday was misconstrued. And he was pretty angry about it when we talked. And I understood why, because people misconstrued it. He said even on his station on ESPN and blew it into something that wasn't. And Chris Mortensen, to his credit, had issues with that and reached out to Schefter and they talked about it. And they're great friends. They're close friends. And they discussed, like, how are these people on our station blowing this into something that it's not? Attacking Carson's character, murdering Carson's character. And some of those people in the media are former football players who should freaking know better. They should know better. And that, to me, is the most disappointing part. And it's disgraceful to attack someone based on speculation. And Adam comes on yesterday and he says he didn't speak to Carson. He didn't speak to Carson's agent. He even told me to give Carson and his camp his number if they want to reach out. He couldn't believe the overreaction to the story. He stood by it. But again, what is he standing by? He's standing by the not happy part, which is obvious, and then an if-then scenario, which is common sense to anticipate, but hasn't played out yet because it's speculation. Carson Wentz may indeed, in 2 weeks when the season's over, he may indeed decide he wants out of Philly. He may come to that determination in 2 months. He may come to that conclusion in 6 days. It hasn't happened yet. Those are the facts. That's what I reported, and I hope we can finally put this to an end right now. You can criticize Carson, the player, for his performance and say whatever you want about what he does on the field. But to attack someone for a conclusion that he hasn't reached is absolutely absurd. I know people are still thinking someone leaked some information, but go back and listen to the report. There's really no leak. It's a speculative statement. If he's a backup, then he may ask for a trade. That doesn't require a leak. It requires common sense. People are accusing Howie Roseman of leaking information. Why in the world would Howie want to sabotage his team, hurt Carson's trade value? There's no leak. There was no leak required for a common sense story. I appreciate everyone out there who shared my report, and Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, and for all those who attacked me for reporting facts, man, some of the trolls this week were really vicious. So for those, I'm praying for you, y'all. I'm praying for you. Seriously, I hope you find your peace and happiness. And here's the really disheartening part. The most vicious attacks, they're not coming from Cowboys fans, Giant fans, Washington football team fans. They're coming from Eagles fans. Eagles fans who, for some reason, hate Carson Wentz so much that they want to believe speculation as fact, and then they turn their rage against me for reporting the truth. And that's just sad. It's just sad. I'll never understand, if you root for a team, why you would hate a player that much. And this isn't the majority. This isn't the majority, y'all. But I've witnessed enough of it from enough fans that it's downright disgusting and disheartening. So I hope we cleared it up. 610-632-0975. Let me get one of the calls in before I get to a break. I know Dan in Northeast has been hanging on. He's on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Dan? Good morning. Merry Christmas Eve.
What's going on, Rob? How you making out?
I'm great.
First, before I get into my point, I just want to take the time to wish you a Merry Christmas first. And
thank you.
You know, thank you for everything you've done for me personally. Not many people know you beyond the radio, you know what I mean, or reading your articles. But coming from a personal perspective, that you've every time I reach out to you, you get back to me. You've extended help to me, And I just want people to know that you're a good dude, and I just had to say that first and foremost.
Oh, damn. Right. What's up, man? You're giving me chills, bro. That's nice,
man. You're going to get a picture later now because of that. All right. So, as far as Carson's involved, dude, it's a confusing situation. But as far as the backup part, him not wanting to be a backup, that confuses me, because if he played the good teammate role and embraced the backup, you would hear people saying he's all about the money. He doesn't even care to play football. He doesn't love it. So it was almost like a lose-lose situation for him in that predicament. And everything he's dealt with, I just don't know who would be happy. I'm not saying he's not accountable for part of it, but who would truly be happy? That doesn't not make him a good teammate. It just makes him, you know, deterred with the situation that he wants to fix.
And it's again, Dan, he hasn't said anything. He hasn't said anything but been a great teammate. He's been a supportive teammate. He hasn't said anything to anybody. Everybody would want to play. And if the team were to come to a conclusion, you know what? We've paid him all this money. We need to start him because we have to try and fix him. Jalen Hurts should be upset. Jalen Hurts should be like, well, I played good. I played well. I was out there doing great things in this offense. I should be out there.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's competitive. It's just a competitor. That's it.
Yeah, dude, it's like, it's crazy. But I wanted to ask you something, and now this is speculation, but I wanted to know if there's anything into it. The Eagles organization wouldn't have put out anything to kind of make the articles salacious, right? Because I don't know, dude. I feel like they are doing this guy dirty. I really do.
Dan, there was no leak because there was no information valid of a leak. It was a speculative report. Again, I just broke the whole thing down. He said if he was going to be a backup, then maybe, potentially, he'd wind up asking for a trade. That doesn't require Howie or anybody to say that. That's obvious information. So it was just pure speculation. So
almost like the breaking news was just obviously something and it wasn't breaking news.
Even Adam himself was astounded at the way this took on a life of its own, because he said, everybody's been talking about what are the Eagles going to do. I'm going to tell you, what about from Carson Wentz's perspective? From Carson's perspective, he certainly isn't happy about being a backup. No one would be. And if that continues, he may potentially want to ask for a trade. Oh, okay.
But it just shows you the kind of character he has. I mean, he can walk away with $130 million. He's had concussions. His leg's been banged up. You know what I mean? And the plethora of other things. And he can walk away with that money if he wanted to.
Dan,
he wants to play.
I got to run, brother. I appreciate it. Merry Christmas to you and your family, man.
Same to you.
Have a good one. 610-632-0975. We got Mike. We got Greg. Hang on. I'm Rob Motti. 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, I love the Christmas music. 97.5 The Fanatic. I am Rob Motti. The 10 a.m. hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION. Or visit windownation.com. Mike and Greg, hang on. We're going to go live right now to Doug Peterson.
Well, I think with him specifically, I guess one of the things that, I guess from my standpoint and being around quarterbacks, you know, my whole career, it's a little easier to get to know guys in the quarterback room, say, than the defensive line room, for instance, or the DB room. But it always takes a little bit of time to kind of get to know a person, to kind of see what makes him tick, how he thinks, what he likes, as a quarterback plays and things like that. And, I've been real impressed with his openness, with his, willingness to talk and learn and ask questions. And of course he's got a great demeanor, around the guys, around the coaches. And he's a guy that wants to, that wants to learn and improve and get better. And, you've heard that in his comments this week, how disappointed he was about the game, this past Sunday. And that's just who he is. But But being in that room more and more, and I'll tell you, I mean, the other thing, I mean, it's just hard with the way we have to do things now, you know, with the intensive protocols, you really don't get a chance to really get to know somebody like you would want, you know, virtually through the computer. And we only get a limited amount of time during the week to spend with our guys.
Have you ever seen him really kind of fire up on the sideline or in a meeting or anything?
I mean, fired up from an excited fire up, you know, and you saw it. I saw it last week in Arizona. You know, he went up and down the bench and just kind of, especially with the offensive guys, you know, just talking to them and getting them going a little bit. And even the interactions that I've had with him, you know, he's energetic and gets a little fired up. And that's good to see.
John and then Martin.
Hey, Doug, speaking of that demeanor with Jalen, we talked to him yesterday, and there was a question about some of the outside noise, obviously the quarterback controversy questions, and he mentioned you got to stay away from the rat poison, and Nick Saban kind of told him that about social media, about the outside noise. I'm curious, how often do you have to address that with the players or individuals, or does it come up much?
Comes up all the time, and you know, it's one of the things that you know, when I call the team up at the end of practice, I just remind them about the media obligations and social media, and just try to remind them to be smart and not to read too much into things, and just stay focused on what we're doing internally. And so it's a constant reminder, you know, for me, but not only for me, but for me to the team, to remind them to stay away from the so-called rat poison. It's a good way of using it. But and the guys are smart. They just got to understand that you know everybody's a reporter. Everybody has a camera. Everybody has a microphone, you know, out there, and Even the player themselves, right, with the social media accounts that they have, they just got to be smart about the information that's being portrayed, either about themselves or the team. And so it is a constant reminder for me to, you know, stay on top of that.
Martin and then Jeff.
Hey, Doug. This week you guys activated a practice window for DeSean Jackson. And I was kind of wondering, like, you know, where he is in his recovery and if it's possible that he could play either this week or next week.
Yeah, he's getting close. We activated it because we feel like he is close. He was able to get some snaps in yesterday with the offense, and we'll integrate him more today and just see where he's at. It's the first time he's been able to do any kind of football, you know, activity with the team, more football maneuvers, running routes and, you know, blocking and things of that nature. So we'll see how he is and see how he feels today, but we'll try to ramp him up today and you know, keep him coming.
Jeff and then Ruben.
Hey, Doug, just to follow up on Jalen's personality a little bit, when you have a guy like that in that position and he can sometimes be quiet because he's working so hard, he's young and he's very diligent, all things that we've heard about Jalen, can he sometimes come off as arrogant? And do you have to reinforce with him, hey, maybe sometimes let your personality show when you're playing or when you're around the guys or when you're with the coaches?
You know, that's I say that quite a bit with the guys, you know, I do want their personalities to show, particularly, you know, on game day. I want them to be them, and, you know, I want the players to be who they are. I don't want them to hide behind anything or feel like they're inferior or they've got to sort of, you know, put up a persona that's not them. You know, I just want them to be who they are, and you know, it got them, the players, you know, it got them to this level for a reason. And we don't want to put a blanket over it and kind of smother it. Right. We want them to be free and, you know, and look, if it comes off as arrogance, it's okay. As long as they can back that stuff up and play well, and it's okay, you know, and that goes with receivers, that goes with DBs, and You know, it goes with everybody, every position. So, I just want the guys to be who they are, and it can go a long way into the shaping of the, you know, kind of the culture and the excitement of the team.
Ruben and then Ed.
Hey, Doug, happy holidays to you. Hey, what's the value of having Alshon? You have such a young group of receivers, and then to have Alshon there, his return kind of coincided with Jalen playing. What's been the value to have that veteran receiver out there for Jalen?
You know, the thing that I've really appreciated with Alshon, even when he wasn't out there and going through his rehab and injury, is how he has really mentored these young receivers. Taking a guy like Travis Fulgham, JJ, all the guys, Jalen Reagor, you know, Hightower, Quez, all these guys, and really just kind of I saw him, and he continues to do this, just talking to him and coaching him. And, you know, I guess another thing that I've really appreciated about Alshon is that he's so unselfish. He doesn't have to have every ball thrown his way. He doesn't have to score all the touchdowns. He gets excited when Miles scores or when Jalen Reagor scores or when Quez scored the other day. He gets fired up about that. And it's just, he's such a pro about it. And, you know, so his value has been about mentoring and sort of coaching and teaching these young guys how to play this game.
What about on the field?
On the field the same way. You know, he feels good. He's obviously healthier now. He's got his game legs back, you know, and he's playing aggressive. And I just think he's in a really good spot right now, and mentally and physically.
Go ahead, Ed, and then Mike.
Hey, Doug, Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas.
Sunday is going to be one of those rare games where you might actually have your offensive line all together for just, I guess, the second time this year. Have you noticed any difference in practice this week with that same line developing cohesion? And then secondly, who is your reserve tackle there behind Pryor and Mulata?
So the reserve tackle will be Brett Toth. He'll be the backup tackle, and then of course we got Ross and Luke Tariga. You know, I tell you, it is the second time that we've had the starting five, you know, together this season, and you know, you just see the communication with these guys in practice. And they're not having to learn and look over and there's, you know, okay, there's Jack Driscoll to my right, or, you know, Matt Pryor's now playing the left side, or Mulata's back on the right side. You know, so it's having that stability and that communication really, really goes a long way in how well these guys can play. And then, of course, they have to go and play on Sunday and play against another really good defensive line and a couple really good defensive ends. And, you know, it's no small task. It's hard, and yet the fact that they can be together and you know, listen to Kelsey and the communication that goes on, and the fact that they're getting reps at that position and that position only, just makes them that much better every time they get an opportunity to go play.
We'll wrap it up with Mike, Jamie, and then Zach.
Hey, Doug. Merry Christmas. What's made Greg Ward so good in the red zone this year?
Greg, I tell you, he's such a really good route runner. You know, being a former quarterback, he really understands leverage. He understands coverage. He's another one that just wants to learn, and he's just a sponge out there. You know, he's been in the league now a couple of years, but still wanting to improve and get better. And, you know, he just knows how to set up defenders, and he's obviously quicker than he is probably faster, you know, straight line speed, but and that's okay, because down in the red zone or on third down is where you need that. And he's been impressive, you know, and not a real big guy, but he plays bigger than his size is, and he's having a solid year.
Jamie?
Doug, Cowboys week, it's always such a big deal. It's a big deal because of the rivalry. It's a big deal because of the crowd. It's a big deal because of the standings. And it's a big deal because of the history. And this year you've got no real crowd, and you've got a quarterback who's never played in this rivalry before. How different is Cowboys week?
Well, it's different, maybe, like you said, from maybe the participants in the game, probably for both sides, you know, both teams. But it doesn't take away anything from the rivalry from you know, from this game whatsoever. And you know, it's something that I've reminded the guys this week about, just, you know, not only the importance of this game, but just the history and the tradition. And I can think about the times that I've played in this rivalry, and it's a great game. You know, it's an exciting game. It's a physical game. You know, and there's a lot to this game, you know, Sunday, for both teams. So, you know, that doesn't go away. That part doesn't go away. Some of the participants might be different, but, you know, it's still football at the end of the day, and we still have to go out and execute our jobs.
And if I could follow up, what do you hope to get under the tree tomorrow?
Oh, maybe a little rest. How about that? Maybe a little sleep. No, obviously, you think about this time of year, and having my family in town, my three boys, three sons are in town, and you know, my wife, and just spending time with family, and that to me is what it's all about.
Go ahead, Zach.
Hey, good morning, Doug. Merry Christmas. If I can take you back to August and September, the first plan was to go with Nate Sudfeld as the number two. When and why did you realize that you will need to change that to Jalen?
You know, Zach, first of all, Merry Christmas to you too and your family. And, you know, I think as a staff, we made that change is when we really started thinking about how we could use Jalen and Carson together, you know, on the field at the same time, and how we could impact the offense that way. And so that kind of was more so the reason to bring Jalen along, you know, back then, was just to see how we could get him on the field with Carson, and use those two together to provide, you know, explosive plays or plays that would extend drives, you know, early in the season. And it did. And then we had to just continue to evolve that.
If I can ask a quick follow-up, how did Nate handle that whole process?
Like a professional, you know, and listen, Nate, I know Nate was disappointed. I do know that, and rightfully so, right? I mean, you know, obviously coming in as the number two, and then, you know, making that change early in the season with Jalen there. But again, he handled it like a pro, and he went out and he worked every single day as he does today, and you know, he doesn't want to be a distraction and wants to help the quarterback room, wants to help the team win, and he and I still talk quite a bit, you know, X's and O's on and off the football field. And you know, he's been a big part of that room.
Thanks, Coach.
And there you have it. That was Doug Peterson. And what stood out to me was the glowing praise for Alshon Jeffrey. How about that? Alshon, glowing praise. It's good to hear.
Unbelievable, dude.
Well, hey, that's what Doug is seeing, right? He's seeing that out of Alshon, and we're not seeing any of that because we're not allowed in practice. So he absolutely glowing praise for Alshon Jeffrey.
You know what that was like? You seen the Christmas Vacation scene where Cousin Eddie's emptying the sewage? That's just what I envisioned coming out of Doug's mouth when he was doing that Alshon answer, man. Like, come on. What are you trying to sell us, man?
Oh,
unbelievable.
610-632-0975. Let's go. Mike's been hanging on. He's in Cherry Hill. He's on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Merry Christmas to you guys.
Same to you, buddy.
And
thank you.
All the callers, man.
Thank you, man.
No. But I don't know what you're talking about, man. I don't know nothing about the background, about what you're talking about. Here, to be honest with you, I don't even want to hear it. Okay? I know you wrote a story or something. I don't even want to hear it, man. But what you talking about is speculation.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, man. You know how this is going to play out. Stop acting silly. When a guy's making that much money and he's not going to start, of course he's going to be a malcontent. He's not going to be excited. and under this silliness with you talking about being a pro, man, these guys are getting enough money. You shouldn't have to make them be a pro. That's just how it is. Carson knows that he has not played well enough to start an NFL game. And so now this is a bottom line business. You know he's going to be upset. You know he's not going to want to play. You know he's going to want to be traded. You don't have to speculate that. That's ridiculous for you to try to assume that. You know that's going to happen. He's a competitor.
You talking about me, Mike, or you talking about Adam Schefter's report? Because I wasn't.
Like I said, man, I don't want to get into the specifics.
Well,
I'm
clarifying. I hear you, man, but I was clarifying a report that had people for 5 days dragging Carson through the mud as if he was backstabbing his team, because he's not. And you used the term malcontent. He hasn't been a malcontent. Okay, it's just common sense. He's not playing. He's going to want to play. And if the situation continued, he's going to certainly at some point evaluate that. We don't know what the future is going to what the future holds. He doesn't know what the future holds. Let's move on. And that's what it should have been from the initial report on Sunday. And then I wouldn't have to spend 4 days talking about it. And everybody else wouldn't be destroying the guy over it. But people overreacted to it.
No, I'm not. I agree with what you're saying. Okay, from that perspective, we're just saying, let's just wait and see. But we know we are football fans, bro. We didn't been through this before. We know where this is going to go. You're not going to have a guy make all that money and be a professional and say, let me hold the clipboard.
Neither's the team. Yeah, and the team's not going to do that. They're not going to pay him that much money to be a backup. It's just asinine. Right. It doesn't make any sense.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. So let's not play this speculation game. We know what's going to happen. Jalen has played well enough to get to be the starter.
Yes, he has. Exactly. I got to run, man. I appreciate the call. I don't, like, know what. Yes, it's obvious. Yes, it's common sense. And if everybody had Mike's reaction to it from day one, we wouldn't be here 4 days later, even talking about it. Greg in Bethlehem, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Rob, I appreciate your clarifying that issue. It was pretty cloudy there for a bit.
Yeah, I don't put it on fans or readers or listeners or viewers to try to interpret that. I put it on media who took what was a common sense, obvious story that Adam himself said was misconstrued and blown out of proportion, and then fans reacted to it because they don't know. They're reacting to what they're hearing people behind microphones and on cameras say.
Sure. Well, the media, unfortunately, magnifies or looks for things that are controversial and blows them up, you know, to get clicks. But hypothetically, down the road, let's say that it works out that Carson wants to get traded and the team wants to trade him and they get the right trade partner and all of that. Can Carson agree to restructuring the cap hit?
My understanding, Greg, is this. The cap hit, he can restructure his contract. The cap hit is what the cap hit is because it's already a contract that was signed with guarantees and it's based upon the guarantees.
Okay, so no matter what he agrees to,
that
won't change.
My understanding is he can say, pay me nothing. And the cap hit is what the cap hit is because the money's
on. See.
Yeah. So.
Okay, I was hoping, you know, there was some wiggle room there that for restructuring, which would make life a lot more clear going forward.
Yeah, and that's where the Eagles really have to look at this, evaluate it, and figure out what's best for the organization going forward. So you have what's best for the organization, Carson has what's best for him, and they may not be on the same page. We don't know. It might not even be Carson's decision. The organization may say, hey, we're going to go with Jalen, and we're going to move on from you, and he doesn't even have to think about it. Or at this point, with 2 games left in the season, they are just not there yet. Greg, man, I appreciate the call. You have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
610-632-0975. Dwayne, hang on. I'll get to you next. Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Buffalo and New England are facing off in a Monday night showdown, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you the chance to get an even bigger win when you bet the game. For every 2,500 fans who bet on Buffalo to cover, FanDuel Sportsbook will move the line 1 point in Buffalo's favor. How about that? 1 point. For everybody who takes Buffalo, they're going to move it 1 point. There's no limit to how good this line can get. As long as enough fans keep betting, the line will keep on moving. And best of all, FanDuel will pay you out at whatever the line lands at by kickoff. So you don't have to wait to get in on the action. Make sure, tell your friends, so the line gets even bigger. When they did this with Milwaukee versus Philly, the line moved from +8.5 to 59.5. If you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, just look for the Spread the Love market to place your bet. And if you've been holding out, then here's your chance to start betting on FanDuel with incredible odds. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with code 97ROB. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code 97ROB. 21 plus, present in New Jersey or PA. Must wager in designated crowdfunding market. Max wager $50. Payout at -110. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, ain't that beautiful? It's so beautiful. It's so soothing. 11:01, 97.5 The Fanatic on this Christmas Eve. You know, driving in here, it was... So, it's so warm outside. I honestly had my air condition on in the car. Now, I was drinking a hot tea, so that was part of it. Like, I'm hot now. I got the air condition on or whatever. And I'm going, man, it's Christmas Eve. Forget about a white Christmas. It's 60 degrees. I know the temperatures are going to drop. I know it's going to rain and it's going to be windy. It's going to be all that stuff. But Jordan Mailata said yesterday, be where your feet are at, right? Be where your feet are at. He said that's kind of the saying we have around here. Aside from the rat poison, do you like that comment?
Yeah, I did. I like that.
I love that. Remy turned it into t-shirts.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw it get tweeted out. Like, it's such a Nick Saban thing.
Isn't it great, though?
Yeah, Belichickian. It's a great philosophy, though.
It's so great. Mindset. You know what? Do you have that cut ready?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Dwayne, hang on. In case you don't know what we're talking about, and in case you missed it, this is Jalen Hurts yesterday after I asked him, and he came up with a awesome, awesome line.
Hey, Jalen, outside the building, outside the facility, people are going to talk. They're going to say things. There's going to be rumors. There's going to be reports. There's going to be speculation. Most of it's usually nonsense. How do you personally stay away from all that? How do you stay focused on, like you said, the things that you can control and making sure you block out all the other noise? Do you stay off social media? Do you do anything specific to make sure you don't let any of the outside stuff influence you or just enter your thought process?
Yeah, I try and stay away from the rat poison.
When you say rat poison, what do you mean?
Yeah, the ex-coach Saban, he knows a little bit about rat poison too. You know, it's all external factors. I've talked about that a little bit, external factors that, you know, no good for us and what we're trying to do as a team.
There you have it, external factors. I love that. I love Jalen's got excellent perspective, man. This kid's got great perspective. He's got talent, and I know it's only been two games, so I don't go crazy. I don't get ahead of myself. I want to see more out of Jalen, but he's got great perspective, makeup, poise, the talent we see. And you, as an Eagles fan, for all Eagles fans out there, you ought to be excited. You really ought to be excited about what his potential and what he could do. Because this is a kid who is young, he's growing, he's learning, and he's in the offense. And I know the quarterback situation is a very difficult one for this team. and they got to figure it out. But right in front of you right now, enjoy what Jalen Hurts has done. He's invigorated the offense. Yeah, he's got to improve in so many areas. We know that. He's got to improve. Last week he was sacked 6 times. He was only sacked 3. He wasn't sacked at all. In the first game against the Saints last week, it was 6 times. Doug Peterson said some of those were on him. Some of those were on offensive line and other people. It's going to happen. His completion percentage is in the mid-50s. That's not good enough. He's got to get that up. But I think as he learns, as he goes out there, as he plays, as he gets more time with these young guys, and don't forget, outside of Alshon, the receivers are a very young group. It's a very young group. Connor, before I go back to Dwayne and Mike, let's get the Twitter poll question of the day, because it is Christmas Eve, and we want to make it, I don't want it to be a disappointing, depressing day. I think it should be a celebration, right? I came on, I cleared everything up. We should, at this point now, be able to move on from the Carson Wentz saga, the drama, the speculative reports versus facts. I hope I was able to shed light for you on the difference between facts and speculation. There's a difference. I hope I was able to help shed some light on that. The speculation is, if this were to occur, then this may happen. Facts are, he's not there yet. He hasn't thought about that yet. He may eventually. It's just not there yet. He hasn't leaked any information. His agent hasn't leaked any information. Adam Schefter said it himself. They haven't leaked information. By the way, I heard some people say, well, he's not going to say that the agent leaked information or whatever. If they did, he's going to protect his sources. No, no, no. It doesn't work that way. I don't know how. And I'm pretty sure Adam's got a newspaper background. He's got a journalism background. He does a great job. So I'm sure, like, we cannot, when I report something on sourced information, I therefore cannot, in that same article, say that the source denied it. Can't do it. That's lying. Like, I can't say so-and-so, you know, source close to Carson Wentz said this, and then go, and let's just use a different scenario. An entirely different scenario. Let's say the Phillies make a trade and they're going to acquire Francisco Lindor. And I go, two sources confirmed the Phillies are going to do this. I can't then say, and if my sources are Dave Dombrowski and Sam Fold, the new GM, I can't then say within the same article, Dave Dombrowski and Sam Fold declined to comment. I'm not allowed to do that. That's a lie. It's a flat out lie. So when Adam comes out and says it wasn't Carson or his agent, it's not him protecting his sources. That's fact. It wasn't Carson or his agent. And then people speculate, well, maybe it was Howie. No, there was no leak. There was nothing that needed to be leaked. It was just pure speculation. All right. The Christmas poll of the day, it's brought to you by Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin E. Cans Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinEKanz.com. That's K-A-N-Z-E. Connor, what is our Twitter poll question of the day?
Thanks, Rob. Well, we took care of business early. Now it's time to get down to the light stuff for Christmas. There are a lot of reasons to enjoy Christmas, but which one of these is your favorite part of the Christmas holiday? The four options are the music, the decorations, the presents, or the family time. Right now, I think the right leader in the clubhouse is there. It's 56% says family time, 18% and 16% for the presents and the decorations, respectively. And bringing up the rear, not a lot of people in on the Christmas music, with just 8%.
Really? That surprises me on the Christmas music. Why do you think that is?
It's just constant. So
is
the
it
thing
it's
is,
too early.
Yeah, there hasn't. Well, it's not so much that it's too early. I think so. You know, there hasn't been as much shopping because of everything going on with the pandemic, of course. But when you go into retail stores or you stop in the Wawa or whatever in the morning, from like start of December to the end of the month, you're constantly hearing the Christmas music. There's no escaping it. Whereas the other ones, like the decorations, you'll never get tired of the decorations.
No.
And you only get the presents and the family time really on a couple days. So I think the music, there's just too much of it. It's oversaturation.
You got to love the family time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
like, that's the end.
That should be the runaway winner.
It should be the runaway winner. It's an easy one. We're having fun. But, so, you know, some people may be a smaller family or, I don't know, you know, get along with your family. Maybe you're going to go decorations, presents. By the way, about the shopping, Connor.
Yeah.
I made the mistake last Saturday before I came in to do my show of going to the mall. Dude, you would have thought there's no pandemic. Like, I could not believe it. I couldn't believe it. But, hey, that's great. People are getting out and about. Stay safe. Do all of the things that we need to get done. 610-632-0975. Dwayne in Richmond's been hanging on. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Dwayne?
Hey, I'm kind of upset about, you know, everybody talking about, you know, this woe is me stuff for Carson. And I'm going to say, number one, I am a Carson fan. Never been a Nick Foles fan. Thank him for winning the Super Bowl, but never in my life said we should keep Nick Foles. Okay? So let me make that clear. And for the ones who are saying we should let Carson Wentz go, those are the Folesian society. Those are the ones who are saying Carson Wentz should go. But for the ones who are saying Jalen Hurts has arrived, nah, 2 games, 3 games, 4 games, not it. But that kid is showing, I don't even want to talk about his physical, his throwing, and his play. I want to talk about what he's showing mentally. And what he's showing mentally and what he's been through mentally is showing that kid, hey, maybe he can really play in the NFL, and maybe when he gets better, okay, if he gets some off-season, some practice and work on his game, he can be something, okay? That's Jalen. If I was to see Carson one-on-one, and I would say to Carson, my favorite guy on the Eagles team, hey, Carson, what happened? Why is everybody always saying your mechanics is bad? Hey, Carson, during your interview presses that I saw for 13 weeks, why did you keep saying I'm going to watch the tape and I'm just going to keep doing me when it wasn't working? You know, so that's my thing. Carson, I think he feel like he arrived when he signed that $128 million contract. No, should Howie have drafted Jalen Hurts? No, it was a bad pick, even if he goes on to be a pro. But Carson, you let this happen with your play. And now this kid is coming in with the same weapons, the same offensive line, and doing something you weren't doing. So, yeah, Carson, step up. This offseason, go practice. Stop feeling like he feels like he's arrived. Aaron Rodgers went through the same thing. And I'm a Carson fan, one of my favorite players on the team. But stop it.
He hasn't said anything.
Everybody else needs to stop it.
But he
didn't play well.
Right. Clearly. And he got benched. And beyond that, he's been a good teammate and hasn't said anything. So,
yeah.
Okay. That's it. He hasn't said anything.
I mean, he got humble. He got comfortable.
Well, see, that's speculation, Dwayne. That's speculation saying he got comfortable. It is speculation.
How's the speculation?
That's your opinion that your opinion is that the man took the money and stopped putting in the time. That's just an opinion. That's your opinion, Dwayne. Okay. I disagree with it. That's your opinion.
That's fine, but let me ask you this before you let me go.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this before you go. Then how did he regress to this then?
I don't know. I think if the Eagles knew, they would have been able to figure it out. I think there's a lot of factors involved. He hasn't played well at all. He was absolutely abysmal this year. But then you look around at the entire situation and you go, there's a lot of factors that go into it. We always want to put it all on the quarterback, all on the head coach. There's a lot that goes into it. Jalen Hurts has stepped in and played well. Other guys around him have stepped up and played well. Let's see how it plays out. But we don't have to make a definitive declaration after 2 weeks. Dwayne, have a Merry Christmas, my man.
You too. You guys be safe.
All right, brother. Have a good one. It's like I don't know why it becomes... Why does it even become a Hurts versus Wentz? Just like it should have never been a Wentz versus Foles. I don't understand that. I don't get that mentality of pitting. Like, we pit people against each other. My report was pitted against Adam's report. Adam's report was speculative, and it could be correct in the future. Mine was factual, and it is correct now. That's all. So, we like to go this versus this, Carson versus Jalen. Why isn't Carson didn't play well? Jalen Hurts deserves to start. What Jalen Hurts did against Arizona, hey, they didn't win a game. Let's keep in mind they didn't win the game. They needed to win that game. As bad as terrible as they are, if they won that football game, they would have control of their NFC East right now. If they won that game, they would have control of the NFC East right now because then they could win out without help. Mike in King of Prussia. I know he's happy. Well, no, he became a Bills fan last week. You're on 97.5, the Fanatic. What's up, Mike? How about them Bills?
How about them Bills? Bills Mafia. Here's my thing. And by the way, Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you, man.
And Connor Thomas and everybody there at 97.5. So I hope you have a wonderful holiday. So here's my thing. I'm just going to take it light today. I'm hoping that when Howie Roseman gets into bed tonight, that he's visited by the ghosts of draft classes past, present, and future, and they teach him a lesson in how to draft. Because honestly, like, short of supernatural intervention, this team's never going to be good again.
I mean, Mike, you entertain me because I love how far you take it. You know what I'm saying? and Mike, you when you go supernatural now, I got the I got a pipeline to higher power.
Why I'm like, hey, you're the guy. Maybe you can get those ghosts to come visit him tonight. I don't know, because this is where we're at. The total situation that we're in with Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts, like, this is all a product of the upper management not understanding what they were doing and screwing things up. There was no need to bring in a high profile backup quarterback that was going to cause this situation. Regardless if Carson had a bad season or not, like, you've not put the right tools around him, and now you brought in this high profile guy, and now you've created this controversy that they think they can manage, but this is already out of their hands. They've already screwed it up. It's just like this front office, like, this team's never going to be good until there's true leadership at the top.
That is,
it's
a dilemma, Mike. It's a dilemma. They're in a situation now that they created. And
yeah, they didn't need to do this. Even if Jalen Hurts was not here and you had actually given Carson Wentz another weapon, he might have had a better season. And even if he had a bad season, he wouldn't have this guy behind him breathing down his neck and causing this situation. Now you have people, like, you have the public opinion weighing in. You're going to have factions in the locker room that are going to be Hurts guys instead of Wentz guys. Like, none of this could have all been avoided if you just didn't take Jalen Hurts. And God bless him. I hope Jalen Hurts has a good career wherever, like, he may end up, if it's here, if it's not here, wherever. But, like, this was totally upper management just screwing things up and bringing this upon themselves. So, yeah, this is why I can't root for this team. I hope they lose every game from here on out until Howie's gone. And I'm asking you to help us get supernatural intervention to hopefully change Howie's dumb drafting ways.
Oh, Mike, that was fun. I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Have a good one.
You have a Merry Christmas and enjoy. Same to you and your family. Mike is now a Bills fan. He's the situation that they're in, yeah, they created for themselves. Now, does this absolve? Does Jalen Hurts playing well absolve Howie from making that pick? Does it all of a sudden, okay, hey, you got a player on your hands? Well, you also helped kind of destroy what you built. Here's where I am, and I've said this before, and I don't think I've said it here on this station yet, but I've now reached a point where I believe wholeheartedly this can't work here. You can't have the two guys here. You just can't. And this isn't Carson. This isn't a person from Carson's camp. This isn't someone close to Carson. This is me, Rob Motti, talk show host and 97.5 The Fanatic. It's not even Rob Motti, Associated Press NFL writer. It's just Rob, the talk show host. I feel the best thing for Carson is a fresh start. He needs a fresh start. He'll never win this fan base over. It'll never happen. He'd have to win two Super Bowls, and then you'd still hear, why didn't you win a third? And furthermore, the reaction the reaction to a speculative report in which he didn't say anything about wanting out, but the venom, the vitriol, the viciousness of that, man, that should seal the deal. That should, like, if it was me, I'd be like, I want out. That's me personally. I'd want out. Charles in Northeast on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Charles?
How you doing, Rob?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Rob, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your family.
Thank you,
Rob,
buddy.
Of course, I got to hear Mike from Tinga Plush before I come on. He drives me nuts. Let me say this to Mike from
Tinga Plush. No, Charles. Not on Christmas Eve. I will not have the crossfire on Christmas Eve.
Okay. But I'm going to. One of his points he made was ridiculous before I get in
you
my
can
other
get a, get him on Twitter, go back and forth. Right. Not on my show. It's Christmas Eve, Charles. Come on. Defend the That's Eagles fine, or Howie, That's whatever fine. You want to do.
Well, yeah. But I'm going to make the. On one of the points he made, though. And a lot of people have said this, not only him, it's sort of ridiculous, Rob. Like, you can blame Howie for the last year. And listen, you know I'm a Howie defender. He was terrible. He's been terrible the last year. I don't think he's done enough to get fired. I think he's done enough good things. You give him more shots. I like that they brought in the guy, the draft guy who's been in the front office. I think he's going to help Howie.
John Dorsey, yeah.
John Dorsey, yeah. But the thing is, I mean, the say that they shouldn't have drafted Jaden Hurts, it's not only Mike, it's other people too, because Carson would have somebody breathing down his neck. Oh my God, competition. Oh my God, Carson's got to play well to keep his job.
Yeah, but no, I think Mike's point wasn't about the competition. It's about using that premium pick, the 53rd overall in a draft, to bring in a playmaker or a safety or a linebacker or someone else who can help the team because you don't need. Why do you need to create the competition? That's what his point was.
That's fine, but the thing
did
is...
Did you like the pick at the time, Charles?
I didn't like it at the
okay.
time.
Okay, all right.
I will admit that. I didn't like it at
okay.
the time, and I buried it at the time, Rob.
But all right. You can't change your mind now.
No, I do change my mind, because I think Jaden's going to be a really good quarterback.
Oh, I agree. He's got a ton of talent.
Now, let me say this about the Adam Schefter thing on Wentz. And listen, I'm against Wentz right now. I'd lean more toward trading him, even though it's not a definite in my mind. I'm hedging back and forth on that. But listen... I'm going to defend Carson's character a little bit. This is wrong what Schefter did. Listen, I know he's on the station, but the fact is he's a little weasel. The fact is you can't come out with that story and bury Wentz, let that fire simmer for 3 days, and then come out and say, well, no, nobody ever told me that, but I hear Carson, no, of course he's going to be upset. Well, come on, Adam. Don't do that to a guy. And then you get all the talking heads, these Ryan Clarks and that bozo Rex Ryan coming down and burying this guy. I'm tired of it. Listen, Carson was bad. I wanted him pulled a month before he was, Rob. But the fact is, all the attacks on his character, it's wrong. It's just wrong. And all these guys, I know ESPN, it's all a hot take.
Yep.
They should all be ashamed of themselves. And Adam Schefter should really be ashamed of himself for what he did to that guy. It's wrong.
Charles, appreciate the call, man. Have all a right, great Rob. Christmas. Have a good one. Let me get Shannon in Georgia in. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Shannon?
Hey, doing well, Rob. Hey, I you know, just real quick, the way I look at this, I try to take an independent approach to this here, but it just goes to show how important the quarterback position is and how it's the most important position in sports by far. Because the quarterback, if he's playing bad now, it's affecting everybody from the GM to receivers to everybody.
Yep.
You know, Wentz, I love him. He's regressed horribly. I talked to you about 2 years ago after he broke his back, and I said back then, as a guy that struggled with back issues, you've got to start developing a young quarterback. So I love the Hurts pick because I don't trust any athlete that has a messed up back or messed up feet. I'm sorry, especially in NFL.
That's good foresight out of you, Shannon. You're right. You got to consider that. That's understandable.
You have to. You have to protect your investment, and the quarterback position is the most important in all sports. You've got to protect that. Secondly, you've got a guy like Howie is getting now. Howie, in 2008, he had 5 draft picks, man, and Howie nailed all 5 picks. We got a starting left tackle we drafted in the 2nd round. We got a stud defensive end he drafted in the 4th round. We got a stud tight end that came in just in time that your other tight end just turned 30, so you don't have to pay that ridiculous contract yet. You'd have to pay Ertz. Great deal. You know, Howie's also protected Wentz. You got maybe the best right tackle in the league, the best right guard in the league, the best center in the league. Nobody, no other quarterback can say he's got offensive line talent like that, you know? And then Doug, to hear what Doug is going through, Doug is a good man and a hell of a football coach that guys play hurt for every
week.
Yep.
You know, and it's a difficult situation because we're emotionally attached to Carson Wentz. But Carson, I love him, but it's just time. I want to see him get a fresh start in a place like a Minnesota or a Indiana. You know,
Minnesota's got Kirk Cousins, but Indianapolis can happen. It can happen. Yeah. Hey, it can happen in New England. It can happen in Denver. I think you overvalue the 2018 draft a little bit, Shannon, but I got to run. I appreciate your thoughts, man, and you have a Merry Christmas, all right?
Merry Christmas, no problem.
Thank you. 610-632-0975. Kevin Kincaid is going to join us. When we come back, today's show takeover is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. More ways to win. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
And Gargano, weekdays 10 to 2 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Buffalo and New England are facing off in a Monday night showdown. FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you the chance to get an even bigger win when you bet the game. For every 2,500 fans who bet on Buffalo to cover, FanDuel Sportsbook, they're going to move the line 1 point in Buffalo's favor. So there's no limit to how good this line can get. As long as enough fans keep betting, the line will keep on moving. And best of all, FanDuel is going to pay you out at whatever the line lands at by kickoff. So you don't have to wait to get in on the action. You can get in now. Make sure to tell your friends so the line gets even bigger. When they did this with Milwaukee versus Philly, the line moved from +8.5 to 59.5. Easy. Wow. If you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, just look for the Spread the Love market to place your bet. And if you've been holding out, then here's your chance to start betting on FanDuel with incredible odds. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with code 97ROB. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code 97ROB. 21 plus, present in New Jersey or PA, must wager in designated crowdfunding market. Max wager $50, payout at -110. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh yeah, Santa's coming to town. He's getting close. 11:31, 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti. In for the cuz Anthony Gargano. Connor Thomas here for Andrew Salchunas. And this 11 a.m. hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. That's actually where I got engaged.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
It's a good time of the year for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very romantic time around
absolutely.
The holidays.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's beautiful. Beautiful time. All right, we're going to go out to the Comcast Business Hotline, bounce forward, and bring in a guy who is the managing editor at Crossing Broad. He covers the Sixers, Eagles, and Philly sports media, Kevin Kincaid. Hey, man, Merry Christmas, Kevin. How are you, buddy?
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. How we doing over there?
We're doing great, man. And since, you know, you're a media observer, you cover the media. First thing I want to do before we get into the Sixers and their nice win, I want to get your observations on the initial report before we get to the reaction, but the initial report Sunday by Adam Schefter. And I played the 1 minute clip and I'm just going to read. He doesn't sound particularly pleased about being a backup. And he follows that part up with, if he's going to be a backup, I don't know that he'll want to remain in Philadelphia. He could potentially wind up asking for a trade. Kevin, when you hear something like that, what's your reaction?
Well, no duh. What would you expect? Would you expect something otherwise? You know, would you expect him to just take his benching in stride? And, you know, not feel a certain way about it. The funny thing is that we would be more concerned if he took the benching perfectly fine and didn't have anything to say, because that would say more about what kind of competitor he is not versus what kind of competitor he is. So I was kind of all over the place on Twitter. Maybe I needed to narrow my focus because I went on a couple rambling
screeds this week just about how I thought it was a nothing burger in general, because it was like, well, tell us something we don't already know. You know, we would expect that. We would expect that from anybody in any walk of life. I mean, name me a quarterback in National Football League history who said, I don't mind being benched, and I'm happy to be the backup here.
And
nobody has ever said that, you know?
And a part of that is, and I get what that Sunday segment is, and you have to provide insider information because you're paid to be an insider, but there was nothing that was insider-ish there. The first part, when he says that Carson doesn't sound particularly pleased about being a backup, well, Carson himself said that. So you didn't need somebody inside NovaCare, outside NovaCare, down the street, wherever, to tell you that. Carson himself said, obviously, it's frustrating as a competitor, just a personality I have. I want to be the guy out there. Okay. So, and then the second part is, if he's going to be a backup, he could potentially wind up. That's speculative, right, Kevin? That's speculative.
Yeah.
It's not factual. So why did this, what Adam himself called a common sense story, you call a nothing burger, I agree with you. Why did this deteriorate into Carson Wentz is a selfish player trying to sabotage his teammates 3 hours before kickoff? How does that happen?
I don't know. You know, I just think it turns into this pile on where we it's sort of a bad mixture, a bad cocktail of personal agendas and recency bias and jumping off the bandwagon and kicking a guy to a curb. I think it's kind of a confluence of all those things. You know, I mean, it's one of the worst traits I think we have as Philadelphia sports fans. And look, like you have every right in the world to be down on Carson right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's not having a great season. You know, he got himself benched. Sometimes I think we have to learn to take those things at face value. You know, okay, he's having a bad season and he got benched. I think we have this crutch where we always have to look for something more. Maybe there's not more there. Obviously, there's been reporting in the past on what kind of teammate he is. I don't know what kind of teammate he is. We're all just going by source reporting. So that may be true. It may not be true. Everybody's got to make their own decision on that. But I think we do this thing with Philadelphia athletes is when they're kind of out of favor or they're down or they're not having a good year, or we know maybe the end might be there, that we sort of just discard them and we kick them to the curb right away. I mean, you saw it with Eric Lindros. We did this with Eric Lindros.
Mm-hmm.
We did this with Jason Worth. You know, remember Jason Worth,
oh, yeah,
the best of the world when he signed with the Nationals, when any one of us would have done the same exact thing. And now we've remedied and repaired that relationship with Jason Worth. But I think it's just kind of like a confluence of all these things that results in us like making it personal and taking it into territory that it doesn't need to go. And now to Schefter, like, he's right when he says people come out and misconstrue that. Like, I get that. I understand where he's going with that. But the question for him is like, well, is this really newsworthy to begin with, you know, because I think you're reporting something that I think everybody can probably assume is already true. So you have to have a long view here and say, hey, what's the benefit of putting this out there? You know, because obviously it got twisted into something by no fault of his own. It got twisted into something grotesque and different, but it wouldn't have gotten to that point without the report in the first place. So I don't know. It's like maybe he's got to just have a little bit more foresight there, but you know as well as anybody that they go on these Sunday morning shows, they have these reports kind of have to like cobble together your tidbits that you gather from the week prior, and it just sort of happens that way. It's unfortunate that it got twisted into something different.
Yeah, he was absolutely astounded that it reached that point. When I talked to him and Mort reached out to him, he's like, I couldn't believe, I didn't know what was happening and all that stuff. But yeah, it goes back to exactly that. Accountability, what you're putting out there. And everybody's got different criteria. Everybody's got different parameters that they go by. We're talking to Kevin Kincaid. Follow him at Kevin_Kincaid on Twitter. Covers the Sixers, Eagles, Philly sports media. Moving forward, what do you envision is the best scenario for this Philadelphia Eagles football team? I've already said I think Carson should want a fresh start. Hasn't asked for it yet. But if I were him, I would want a fresh start. What do you think?
I think a fresh start would be perfect, yeah. I mean, I think the Indy situation would be perfect. It would be absolutely perfect. Prune break, change of scenery, gets to reunite with Frank Reich. They need a quarterback out there. They got two guys on expiring contracts. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world, you know, because regardless of who the starter would be next year, if it's Jalen Hurts or Carson Wentz, it just doesn't seem like a tenable situation moving forward. It doesn't mean that it's I don't want people to confuse that for it's for thinking that it's like a conflict or that, that those guys don't like each other, because that's certainly not true. But it just doesn't seem like having a highly paid backup or a highly paid franchise quarterback, now your backup, or the promising second round guy take as the backup, that's just not a situation that works for anybody. It doesn't mean it's tenuous. It just means it's not tenable. And they knew this, Rob, when they made the draft pick, which is why it was just a bad decision at the time, because even if you put the Jalen Hurts pick in a vacuum and they stumble into a franchise quarterback here, okay, they still messed it up because they just gave Carson 4 years, $128 million. Okay, yes. So you really can't separate that. You can't separate those two different things in a vacuum. You have to take the totality of the quarterback situation of what it was back then. So they painted themselves into the corner, and they knew that this was going to happen, and really they did it to themselves.
Yeah, it is a dilemma for this organization, and they're going to have to figure it out. But let's move on from a team that's in a mess to a team that's exciting, that's fun to watch, that's entertaining, and we have a lot of hope for. And the Sixers beat the Washington Wizards 113-107 in their opener last night. I'm going to give you real quick one of the plays I was most impressed with. 90 seconds, I believe, maybe a little bit above 90 seconds, and Joel Embiid, it looks like he wants the ball, he takes it to the rack, he dominates, and I'm like, this is what I want to see. When it's crunch time, I want to see Joe take the ball to the basket and score. Not hanging outside, not shooting three-pointers. That, to me, is an area where I don't know, but it looks like it's improvement in game planning, in play calling. What did you think of that, and then in general, of what this team in their first game out there looked like?
Yeah, that was a great play, and that was actually probably the third option on a set that they just hammered over the final 2 minutes of the game. That was the set. He was playing the second side, and he's got a DHL option there, a dribble handoff option with Seth Curry, and decides, I'm just going to fake the DHL and take it to the rim myself. And that's what they did down the stretch there. You know, they basically just went to that elbow set. I think it was like there was like 3 minutes left on the clock, and the game was tied at 99. And they just played through and beat on the elbow for, geez, 5 straight plays. Ben Simmons got the drive to the rack for two. I think Seth Curry made a floater on the next one. Then the Embiid basket we're talking about. Shake Milton got fouled, I think, on the next one and hit two free throws. And then you had Ben getting free for the dunk. So that's four different guys, Rob, who scored points on five possessions down the stretch. And the interesting thing is that we came into the season, I think one of the things when you read all of our preview articles, all the Sixers beat guys did going into the season, we were kind of wondering who the closer was going to be, you know, because 2018 yeah. Jimmy Butler isn't around, right? So it was kind of like closer by committee, you know, and they put a multi-action elbow set in there and said, let's just make the right decision and the right read here. And four different guys stepped up and contributed. Now, that was probably the biggest takeaway from last night, because they were down double digits. They had a horrible third quarter. But the fact that you make it work with, you know, just kind of closer by committee and everybody executing down the stretch, that's definitely probably the biggest positive that you can take away from it.
You think they're going to continue that way or hope to figure out who's going to be my closer at some point when you get towards the playoffs and you get deeper into the postseason? You're going to have that guy. And, you know, Tobias Harris yesterday, 3-for-13, 0-for-4 from yeah. three. Obviously a tough game for him. But what do you see? How's that going to play out?
Yeah, I mean, inevitably, I think that you still have to have that perimeter shot creating, that guy who can organically create a shot from the perimeter. It's nice to play through a big and be able to hammer that same elbow set 4 or 5 times in a row. That works on opening night against the Washington Wizards, but when you're in, you know, game 3, 4, 5 against the Boston Celtics in the second round of the playoffs, you know, a playoff basketball is different. So I don't really know who it is. I don't know who it is. I would like to see more out of Seth Curry. I'd like to see him more involved last night. But hey, you know, I mean, it's weird to think that a big would be your go-to yeah. guy down the stretch. But they may be able to make it work with Embiid. It's just going to have to be in a more hands-on kind of way. Whereas you know, you would normally take your hands completely off of a guy like James Harden and let him do his thing. You know, Doc Rivers might have to get his hands dirty and micromanage down the stretch, which is something that Brett Brown, like, and I don't know. I just think that those guys both like organic basketball and keeping their hands off and letting it flow freely and whatnot. But sometimes you gotta get in there and you gotta make it mechanical. So we'll see if they keep it mechanical and, you know, call plays and go with that down the stretch, or if they develop a guy who can,
you know, kind of create his own shot on the perimeter.
I look at the bench performance that they got last night. Shake Milton, 19 points coming off. Korkmaz, 11. Obviously, Dwight Howard with the 10 rebounds. First thing is, Matisse Thybulle, what happened that he's not part of that rotation, but they have such nice depth. Is that what it is?
Yeah, well, I mean, he didn't look that great in the two preseason games. The first preseason game, he was playing pretty poorly, and Tyrese Maxey was just playing really well. Mm-hmm. So I think when you looked at that looked at the second unit during the first preseason game, they had a lot of promise there, but they probably needed another scorer. So what they did was they just put Doc Rivers just put Maxey in as the number one, as the ball handler. I mean, because he came out of college as a combo guy, we weren't sure if he was a one or two, so they just play him as the one with Shake Milton off ball. And so Shake is able to score a lot of points playing off ball too. They just figured it gave him better ball handling, a little bit of better offensive initiation, because Matisse at this point is just a 3-and-D guy. So I think they just felt like the second unit would roll better. So I don't know, maybe Matisse can kind of be in a competition with Furkan here down the stretch to see who can be the number three in that unit. But I think it was less about Matisse and more about Tyrese Maxey, honestly.
Kevin, last question for you. How far could this team go as it is right now, as they're currently constructed? Do you think this team has Final Four type potential? Can they be in the hunt, get to the Eastern Conference Finals? It's a tough conference. Do you think they need to make a move at some point? Obviously, that's a little bit down the road. How far could they go?
And people might hate to hear me say this, but I still think they're like a second round team. Mm. And that can change, you know, over the course of the season. But right now, with an early sample size, they just remind me a lot of the 2017-2018 team of only Ben and Joel have 3 more years of experience under their belts. But, you know, again, I don't know who the closer is. I don't know if Seth Curry is J.J. Redick, you know. You know, can Danny Green do what Robert Covington did that season? You know, and is Tobias Harris going to be able to kind of slide into a Dario Saric stretch four-ish kind of role? I don't know. There's a lot of similarities between those two teams, and the difference now is that you have a more experienced head coach and a more experienced pair of superstars. So I still think it's dependent on the growth of Joel and Ben. But because honestly, I don't really see that Jason Tatum or that Jimmy Butler or that kind of like late game playoff fourth quarter closer. So yeah, last night was a good start. We'll see if they can build on it, but I don't know if you see anything right now that would make you think that they're an Eastern Conference finalist.
All right, well, that's Kevin Kincaid, managing editor at Crossing Broad. Check him out on Twitter at Kevin_Kincaid. Great stuff, man. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thanks for hopping on, man.
Appreciate it, Rob. Happy holidays to you guys and everybody there at the Fanatic.
Thank you. Talk to you soon again.
Because Matisse at this point is just a 3-and-D guy. So I think they just felt like the second unit would roll better. So I don't know, maybe Matisse can kind of be in a competition with Furkan here down the stretch to see who can be the number three in that unit. But I think it was less about Matisse and more about Tyrese Maxey, honestly.
Kevin, last question for you. How far could this team go as it is right now, as they're currently constructed? Do you think this team has Final Four type potential? Can they be in the hunt, get to the Eastern Conference Finals? It's a tough conference. Do you think they need to make a move at some point? Obviously, that's a little bit down the road. How far could they go?
And people might hate to hear me say this, but I still think they're like a second round team. Mm. And that can change, you know, over the course of the season. But right now, with an early sample size, they just remind me a lot of the 2017-2018 team. Of only Ben and Joel have 3 more years of experience under their belts. But, you know, again, I don't know who the closer is. I don't know if Seth Curry is J.J. Redick, you know. You know, can Danny Green do what Robert Covington did that season? You know, and is Tobias Harris going to be able to kind of slide into a Dario Saric stretch four-ish kind of role? I don't know. There's a lot of similarities between those two teams, and the difference now is that you have a more experienced head coach and a more experienced pair of superstars. So I still think it's dependent on the growth of Joel and Ben. But because honestly, I don't really see that Jason Tatum or that Jimmy Butler or that kind of like late game playoff fourth quarter closer. So yeah, last night was a good start. We'll see if they can build on it, but I don't know if you see anything right now that would make you think that they're an Eastern Conference finalist.
All right, well, that's Kevin Kincaid, managing editor at Crossing Broad. Check him out on Twitter at Kevin_Kincaid. Great stuff, man. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Thanks for hopping on, man.
Appreciate it, Rob. Happy holidays to you guys and everybody there at the Fanatic.
Thank you. Talk to you soon again. That was Kevin Kincaid. Appreciate that. So Sixers excitement, right? Temper it a little bit. Hey, he's got him. He thinks, I'm in that line of thinking right now. I need to see more. I'm not a guy who gets too carried away over one game or two games and Jalen Hurts. Like, I want to see more. And it was a good comparison. He compared it to the 17-18 roster, Connor, where you got Joel, you got Ben, and the three more years of experience. Well, can that three more years of experience pay dividends, right? Well,
there's another big difference with them, though. They've got a better head coach. So not only do you have the experience, but if they're put in a better position, they've had the pieces in the past. Mm-hmm. The problem with the Sixers has not been the pieces. I mean, the Jimmy Butler trade, the Tobias Harris trade, everything they're doing. They've gone out and tried to get free agents to make this team better. The problem is the position they've been in a lot of the time. So now, if you believe Doc Rivers is significantly a better coach than Brett Brown, which I think most of us do, that's another big thing that could differentiate them. But the talent level... Yeah, I do get where he's coming from with the 2017-2018 comparison. A good game last night, though, outside of that third quarter. Saw some good stuff. And I kind of had to catch myself. I don't know what you really thought. We haven't delved into your thoughts on the game last night too much. But I had to catch myself because I saw the Wizards.
Yeah.
And you see the Wizards and you think, okay, this should be an easy take care of them. First night win. Get a win under our belt. And then that third quarter kind of fell apart. And you have to have a double-digit comeback in the fourth quarter to win. That Washington team is going to be pretty good this year. So don't take it for just beating the Wizards. They beat a pretty good basketball team last night with two actual games worth of preseason games under their belt. I mean, like you said, one game at a time.
Though. That's it, yeah. And, you know, if they had come out and beat them by 40 or had a fight, scratch, and claw to get a victory, I don't think it's really going to change much. I'm watching a game. You mentioned a coaching, and towards the end, I forget how, you know, it might have been under a minute. There's a play that was, the play design ended up with Ben Simmons wide open under the basket for a slam, for a dunk. And I'm going, nah, you can't get any easier of a basket than that. And I did hear the guys. I had it on in the background. I was doing a lot of NFL stuff last night. So I couldn't really listen to the announcers, but I turned it up maybe in the last couple minutes. And I did hear them allude to, like, the whatever the play that was called by Doc Rivers. And I just see, like, wow, he's wide open. So, yeah, there's definitely something to what you're saying there, Connor. I mean, obviously, Brett Brown got him as far as he can go. Was fired. They weren't going to go any further with him. You bring in a guy who's been a championship-winning head coach, who's had a lot of success in his career. They certainly upgraded in that capacity.
Yeah, and that play you're talking about was like a top-of-the-point action with Joel Embiid that kind of drew the attention out front. Seth Curry penetrated the lane, and you see he looks first to Embiid at the top.
He wasn't he open, too?
Yeah, they had. So, of course, Embiid had, like, I think it was like 10 of their last 14 points at that point. He was dominant in the fourth quarter.
I love seeing
But then
that.
You turn and Ben Simmons just wide open underneath. That's the kind of thing where, and that's, Seth Curry does that. Danny Green does that. Shake Milton does that, where in previous years, Ben Simmons is never alone under the basket because you could just plop your four or five down there because Ben's not a shooting threat. Now that you have spacing, he gets lost underneath when he does do those back cuts more often. Ends up winning you a ball game last night.
Danny Green last night, 1-for-6, 0-for-4 from 3, played 18 minutes, had 2 points, minus 27.
Yeah, that's not great. Not great by him. A lot of people complained about him in the finals,
again,
too.
It's a first game, but
yeah, he's
minus 27.
Those pieces kind of, they've got to figure out how they want to fit. Mm. It was tough. I mean, but then you see something like Shake Milton was
plus 33.
Right, last night.
Plus 33 out of Shake.
It's got to find its level.
A plus, right?
It really was. And that's a key to the coaching. The previous years, we saw the Sixers bench come on and get exposed.
How excited were you not to see Raul Neto?
Well, we did see him. We saw him on the other side. We saw Tyrese Maxey going back door on him and making reverse layups on him. Tyrese Maxey played his first game.
He was in
10 minutes too many. But that's Washington's problem.
Minus 14 for Raul.
Oh, man. You hate to see it.
Yeah.
Poor guy.
How about that? But it's encouraging. They're entertaining. They're fun to watch. I love seeing Joel take over in the fourth quarter. I love that. I love that kind of basketball. And I know it's a shooter's league, and I know it's three-pointers, and I know it's all about that. And But when you have a guy with his talent, with his skill, his ability, and he can dominate and take over games, and especially you're going to have mismatches against so many other big men in the NBA, man, that's what I want to see. I hope he's able to carry that over, to continue that. He finished last night 29 points, 14 rebounds. Ben Simmons, 16 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. Dwight Howard coming off the bench with 10 rebounds. Shake giving you 19 off the bench. Korkmaz giving you 11 off the bench. Seth Curry with 13. I like where this team is right now. And you certainly got to be excited about where
they're
headed.
Get excited!
Yes, yes, yes. 610-632-0975. So I want to add the Sixers into the mix. We can break down all things Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles. That's what I'm here for. That's what we'll do. And we're going to get into some more of the Christmas conversation, too, as well. We got the Twitter poll question up. We'll check in on that. But I want to talk about, yeah, you're rocking over there a Sixers. I can't even call that an ugly Christmas sweater.
It's supposed to be. No, this is a nice sweater. It's a nice item.
That's the thing, right? It's supposed to be an ugly. When you go to an ugly Christmas sweater party or whatever, when we did those kind of things, that's what you would rock?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's a nice looking sweater. 610-632-0975. I got an open line for you. Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It is exactly 12 noon on 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti with you on this Christmas Eve. Midday, filling in for the cuz, Anthony Gargano. Connor Thomas here for Andrew Salchunas. We'll take you till 2 p.m. Then we'll have Devon Givens. We'll be in with Tyler Zuli for the Mike Missanelli Show. 610-632-0975. So we broke down the facts versus speculation in the Carson Wentz drama, what unfolded this week, the unfortunate nonsense that evaporated from a pretty much what Adam Schefter described as a common sense report that was purely speculative with one piece of information that's as of the moment, and that is that Carson Wentz is not, he's frustrated, he's not particular, I love the wording, he doesn't sound particularly pleased about being a backup. Kevin Kincaid was on, and he gave the best reaction. Well, duh, obviously. So we talked about that. If you have any thoughts, comments, as I stated at the top of the show in the opening segment, my issue hasn't been the reaction from fans. My issue was how media, who ought to know better, blew it out of proportion. It's almost as if someone took a headline and didn't listen to what Adam said and blew it out into Carson Wentz is being selfish and sabotaging his team. And then everyone behind a microphone in front of a camera feels compelled to offer their thoughts because we live in a hot take world. And that to me is the most disturbing part. That to me is the problem when you ought to know better. And when it comes from former players, I don't care to name them all because that's on them. They want to say whatever they want to say. They want to join the hot take crowd. They ought to know better. A former player ought to know better. They know things like this get misconstrued, Adam Schefter's words blown out of proportion. They know that happens. But then to pile on, and it makes you wonder, are there agendas, what's happening here? But that's unfortunate. That part of it is disgusting and disgraceful. And to see that disintegrate into actual Eagles fans viciously attacking it was venomously attacking a guy who didn't even say anything. I thought that was, when people reach out to me, because I get this often, and they say, oh, you got the, you cover the worst fans in the world. And I go, well, I get defensive. I get defensive, Connor, because I sat or stood in that 700 level end zone. Season tickets, man, it's going to make this. Season tickets in the mid to late 90s were $220 in the 700 level.
Per game?
For the season.
For the season.
Yep.
So not per game. For the season.
Ten tickets, wow. $22 each.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
I was in high school. I was in college. Yeah, mid 90s, I was in college. And I was like, that's nothing, man. $220. So I would rotate. I would get both, and I would rotate me and my cousins, me and my buddies, and we go to these games. So when people reach out to me and go, oh, you cover the worst fans in the world, I get defensive. And I always jump to, no, there's a misperception. Don't give me the Santa and the snowballs thing. And I get all defensive, and I go on these shows, and I talk about it, and I defend the honor. And it's a passionate fan base and all of that stuff. But then I see what happened this week. And I know Twitter and social media is a terrible indication, but if someone's actually got like Go Eagles, fly in their profile and their picture of them at the stadium, and then like I can't repeat the things that I was reading directed at me for defending Carson. And not really defending, but reporting truth. It's not defense, it's just factual information. And I'm going, but wait, you're an Eagles fan. I don't get it. And then it makes it harder for me to, how do I go into these national spaces and try and defend? Man, it's tough. Y'all put me in a tough spot this week.
Yeah, man, that's the rat poison. You got to be careful.
That's the rat
poison. Having too much of the rat poison. You can't be eating the rat poison.
I love that rat poison comment. Jalen, man, that was good. That was good. They were dropping nuggets yesterday. So you had Jalen Hurts with the got to stay away from the rat poison, and Jordan Mailata with be where your feet are at. Man, am I guilty of not doing that? I'll be home trying to hang out with my kids, but I'm scrolling the phone. I'm looking at this. My feet are right there with my kids. I promised them I'm going to come home today. And we're going to, you know what we're going to do? We're going to sit down. We got to wrap mommy's gifts. We got to wrap mommy's gifts. And then we're going to just sit down, stare at the Christmas tree, and watch a Hallmark Christmas movie,
there you go.
Connor.
That's a good way to do it.
Hallmark Christmas movie. So we'll get into a little bit of the conversation. And Larry, hang on. I'll get to you in a second. But, and we did the poll. And the poll question is about, you go ahead, read that one more time, just in case anybody hasn't seen it. It's about, what is your favorite part of the Christmas holiday, right, Connor?
Yeah, of course. And you can find it on our Twitter account at 97.5TheFanatic on Twitter. It reads, there are a lot of reasons to enjoy Christmas, but which one of these is your favorite part of the Christmas holiday? The four options are the music, the decorations, the present, or the family time. Right now, still leading. So we've got about 300 votes in. The family time's got 60% of the vote. The presents and decorations flip-flop. So it was the presents in second place before, but the decorations have taken over at 17%. The presents, 16%, and still at 8% the music. Music's really down bad right now.
I get that. Family time is exactly where it should be, leading.
No doubt.
Leading the pack. Presents, I'm surprised. Presents went into third. Decorations is a little slightly ahead. Decorations are beautiful. Decorations are, you know, we put ours out. It used to be always the day after Thanksgiving, and then we'd start. But my wife loves to decorate for Christmas, so she's like right around November 15-ish. That's her thing.
November 15th. So you're going before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Can't be doing that.
No.
That's a little... You can get away if you're going to be one of the people who likes to decorate for like the holidays. You can do like a kind of crossover where you have like... The Thanksgiving decorations, where it's like the cornucopia or whatever you want to put out, hang something on the door.
Yeah.
You can't be doing like the Christmas lights in mid-November.
No, we didn't do
that. Got to wait its turn.
I waited on the lights. I did wait on the lights.
Okay.
But we got the trees were up in mid-November.
So you had the Christmas tree up while you were eating Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah, except
it's early.
Wait, were we in Florida? Yeah, we were in Florida, so okay. We weren't even home. Yeah,
I got you.
That's right. We weren't even home for Christmas. But, yeah, all right. So, holiday music, the trees, the decorations, the presents. I want to get into because, yeah, my favorite movies are Hallmark Christmas movies. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed to admit it. I love me a Hallmark Christmas movie. Nice latte, nice little decaf latte. Maybe I'll go home.
Yeah, I've seen your latte pictures, man. You know how to make them, too.
I'm a barista now, man.
Sounds like a beautiful evening.
I might break out a little s'mores latte.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice little s'mores.
Sounds awesome.
And they're actually, so you put the skim milk in there. It's just you crumble a little bit of graham cracker, so it's not a lot of carbs. And you go with the two, like, little mini marshmallows, and then the dark chocolate that's like 70%, and you just scrape that a little bit on there. So it looks really good in the presentation, but there's not a lot of carbs in there whatsoever. So a lot of people tell me, like, oh, how do you drink those? I'm like, it's just not much. It's not
much.
You
can't be doing this to me right now. I'm sitting back here like, I got to make a run. We have the hot chocolate machine a couple doors down in the studio. I got to see if it's working. I don't know. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't.
Man, it's noon. I haven't had my coffee today. Oh, now I need it. All right, let me get to Larry in Boise. You're 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Larry? Thanks for hanging in there.
Hey, happy holidays.
Same to you, buddy.
I'm a Hanukkah guy, but...
Happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays to you, my man.
Thank you. We actually do put the Hanukkah gifts for the kids under the tree.
Do you?
A little tree. And we do, we open them on Christmas, so we get a little cross-section stuff.
Oh, how about that? That's pretty cool. I like that.
Got a question. Mm-hmm. I'm watching the Sixers last night.
Yes.
And, you know, there's been all this talk about Harden. Okay. Did you see the movie Moneyball?
I know about it. I know about the book. I know about the Oakland A's, but I honestly did not watch the entire movie. No.
Well, there's a part, though. I didn't read the book. I saw the film, but they're sitting there with all their general managers and all their people, and they're figuring out the loss of some of their stars, Damon and Giambi. They're figuring out what they have to do to make up for their production. And I'm watching last night. It was really interesting the way that worked out in that scene, but I'm thinking last night, if you look at Shake, now I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but this kid's coming on to really be something, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Keep our fingers crossed. He looks like he's a special player. Do you think, for instance, right now, he could give us 60% of what Harden could give us?
Hey, man, Larry, if he's going to score 19 points, that's most certainly 50% of what Harden's going to give you.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. When you look at the difference, plus, of course, we're keeping... Well, we'd have to give up for Harden.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is this kid, the way he's playing, and you look at the mix with another player, I mean, I think you can build, maybe you can fill maybe 80% of that void with him and this kid Maxey.
I'm not trading Ben Simmons to get James Harden.
Exactly.
So if Ben Simmons has to be part of that deal and then you start adding pieces to it, I'm not doing it.
Right. Well, like I said, if we can fill that void that what Harden would even give us, of course, we're keeping everything. But the way Shake's playing, and then you look at this added, Ty Maxey, this stuff that he does, that brings a lot of that fills that void of what, you know, like I said, makes up a lot of what Harden would bring to the equation. And I just think it's, we're in a good situation. Rather than spend all our time dreaming about James Harden coming here, he's getting... And with his attitude and all that,
Larry, I like your thought process. I like your thought process with this. And the comparison to Moneyball, the A's didn't win a World Series, but they were able to put together competitive teams by doing exactly what you're talking about. How can we replace an expensive player's production in different ways? And I think a lot of teams, it's kind of the way it's trending in baseball. You look at the Tampa Bay Rays and how they're able to have success. And it's certainly, I like the thought process, Larry. I appreciate the call, my man. Have a good one.
Take care.
Let me get to Tillman in South Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Tillman?
What's up, man? What's up, guys? Happy holidays.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I think that it's sad to see Philadelphia turn on Carson Wentz so quickly, especially with only Jalen Hurts only playing two games in the NFL and everybody hating that pick out of the second round. It makes me feel sad for Carson Wentz in a sense that this was his team and now everybody just kind of turned his back to him after seeing only two games from a rookie.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like people had already started to turn on Carson Wentz, which I don't get. I can understand. I have no issue with anyone who wants Carson Wentz benched and permanently for Jalen Hurts. If that's your football observation and that's how you look at it, that's fine. Everybody's entitled to come to their own analysis. My issue, Tillman, was the way people overreacted to a common sense report that was speculative and turned Carson Wentz into a selfish teammate and assassinated his character when that couldn't be furthest from the true. It wasn't what happened. It wasn't what unfolded. And the viciousness of it really disturbed me.
Right. I agree that I think the media is absolutely destroying him and destroying his image in how we look at him in Philly.
Yep. And it's unfortunate. It's not all media, and you can never paint everybody with the same brush. It's not all media. We've had, you know, Kevin Kincaid was just on. He's part of the media, and he looked at the report as his words, a nothing burger. So he knew what was. And I feel like a lot of the local media who covers this team, most of them understood the situation, but not all, not all. And that's what's unfortunate. Hey man, you have a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season. All right.
Yeah. Have a good holiday, guys.
Thank you. 610-632-0975. That's how you join the show. This 12 o'clock hour is brought to you by Service First Heating and Air Conditioning. You can get 0% financing for 72 months and a $500 rebate when you purchase a complete heating and cooling system from Service First. Learn more at servicefirsthvac.com. So 610-632-0975. Sixers are on the table. All things Eagles, Carson Wentz saga. If you have any explanation, because it baffles me, if you have any explanation why Eagles fans can be so vicious in their hate for a guy over something that was speculative and he didn't say, I don't understand it. Explain it to me. I'm telling you, the amount of people who have reached out to me this week, players, families, members, I'm not talking Carson Wentz. I'm talking other players. I'm talking agents for other players. I mean, it's noticed. It's noticed and people recognize it. And I'm not saying that puts it's not going to make a player think twice. They're going to go where the money is. It's not going to say, but it's a factor. It's a factor. When you think about it, when you're trying to decide whether to go to Philly or go somewhere else and you got comparable money and you got that, and you know, if it's another cold weather city, like for me, I totally understand when a guy wants to go to Florida or he wants to go to California or he wants to go somewhere. But if it's the option is Philly or Boston, Detroit, something like that, where you're not going somewhere beautiful, it's cold weather, northeast, something along those lines, and you have these kinds of reactions, people notice that. They notice that. And I'm telling you, people reached out to me this week, and whether it's, hey, thank you for your honest reporting, or I don't understand what's happening, whatever it is, I appreciate it, everybody who reached out to me and said whatever it may be. So we'll talk about that, 610-632-0975. But I also want to get into a little bit of Christmas tradition. Like, what do you do for Christmas Eve? Like, for me, Christmas Eve has always been a favorite. It's been, like, my favorite. And it's different. It's evolved. It's evolved over the years from when growing up in South Philly in a huge family. Even though I have one brother and my family, my parents, we were a family of four, I got 53 first cousins because both of them were from a family of 10. Now, they're all scattered across the world. But a lot of the families, initially, when I was young, were all right there in South Philly. And we had this tradition that was just absolutely beautiful. There would be one family hosting everyone on Christmas Eve, another one hosting all of us on Christmas Day, another one on New Year's Eve, and another one on New Year's Day. And yeah, we'd sneak out to the parade and everything. But we had four family feasts. It's absolute feast. And we'd have four of them in that 1 week span. And then, you know, we get older, we moved out. You know, there's maybe just a couple families still left in the city. Some in South Jersey, some all over, and we've had our own kids, and we've branched out. And I miss that part of it. You know, when you talk about family time, I miss that part of it, that togetherness. And that was just such a beautiful tradition that we did for Christmas, Christmas Eve, and the food and everything. So I wonder, obviously this year's different for everybody. Nobody, it's, you're doing Zoom family get-togethers, you're doing all that. But what are some of your favorite Christmas traditions, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, some of your favorite, your memories? And Connor, you got a little thing on some gifts too, right? You want to talk about favorite gift, giving and receiving. I'm a very uncomfortable gift receiver.
Yeah, I agree with you too.
I love giving a gift. I'm very uncomfortable. Like, I don't want anything. I always say that. It's awkward. You got to tell people, thank you, I appreciate it. And I kind of feel like I don't want anybody, I don't want you thinking that, you know, you have to go and spend money and bring me. I'm just very uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, and my mom's a pictures person, so okay. she'll take pictures of us opening the gifts. It was more back when we were younger and everything, but that's always weird when that's like posing the gift, yeah. And you're like, hey, just thank you. But yeah, it can be awkward sometimes. But yeah, giving's fun too. Love to give out the gifts. What's the best Christmas gift that comes to mind that you've ever gotten? You think?
I'm about to get a really good one. I know what it is.
You know it already.
I already know what it is. Oh. I saw it in the Amazon because I helped pick it out.
Oh, come on. Helped pick out the present.
Yeah, I did because, you know, so we had snow, right? Last week, I'm shoveling snow and whatever. And my wife's got all these like Uggs and these comfortable things. And I'm like, I'm about to go Tom Brady on you. I want me some man Uggs, okay? So I was going to like, as I said 2 seconds ago, I'm uncomfortable with the whole giving and whatever, but I'm like, I'm looking, scrolling, I'm online, I'm going to buy myself a pair of man Uggs, right? These are like mannish looking, though. These are not furry or whatever. So Remy's like, no, that's perfect. I'm going to get that for you for Christmas.
So she hijacked the thing you were getting yourself, and now you got to wait till Christmas to get it as a gift.
I'm like, babe, I know what it is, but so, I mean, technically it's a gift, so I'm getting that. How about you? Best one?
Wow, that's a tough question. See, it's such a tough question. I got one time, so it was way in advance. So my mother and my brother are both Vikings fans. And myself and my dad are Eagles fans. So actually what ended up being a Christmas gift was sometimes they'll do the, hey, we'll get you an IOU for tickets to the next time the Eagles play the Vikings. So the Christmas of 2017, I got one of those. And it turned out being tickets to, of course, we didn't know at the time, it turned out being tickets to that NFC Championship game when Minnesota came here.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's got to take the cake. Being there for 38-7. Now, it sucks because, of course, we went together.
Yeah.
And my mom and my brother are sitting there. They left at the start of the fourth quarter, so it wasn't great for them. But for me, that was awesome. I don't know how I could top that.
Probably one of the best games I ever covered because it was so easy to write. It was a blowout, and it was
you got the story written by the end of the third quarter.
It was magnificent to see that unfolding. It really was. John, I don't want to shortchange you, so hang on. I got to get to a break. I'll get you up right after we come back. 610-632-0975. That's how you join the show. We're talking about the Eagles situation, Carson Wentz, the saga, what unfolded, facts for speculation. I hope you heard me lay it out for you at the top. I hope we can put an end to that. But I want to talk about the team. This is a team that's still some way, somehow, with two games left, they have a shot. And the odds were greater in the past. So I want to get into that too as well. I know they're not going anywhere, but at least it's meaningful football on a Sunday afternoon. We'll talk about the Sixers and all these Christmas traditions, best present you ever received, best gift you ever received. So 610-632-0975. Today's show takeover is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. More ways to win. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, Ask and You Shall Receive. Connor hooking me up. That is
my.
Go. And that's so good.
That love you got to let right it breathe there. A little bit too. Oh, it's so good. It's, that's great.
I love. Now that gets me right back in the Christmas spirit, the Christmas mood. I'm so excited. Hang out with my family, hang out with my kids. 610-632-0975.
Have you ever seen them in concert?
No.
Oh, you never seen? I saw them live once at the Wells Fargo Center.
Really?
And they're amazing live. They do a great light show and everything with it.
Oh.
It's really, really good if you get a chance when everything opens up.
I listened to that, the Carol of the Bells, right?
Yeah.
On YouTube, and it's from somebody's, the one that first comes up is
it's
someone's.
A video.
Yeah, it's a video from someone's live, like somebody shot it live at a concert. And you're right. There's all the lights showing up.
So dude, it's unreal.
Here?
Yeah, and they put it together. It's almost like a play where they put the music together. There's like talking in between. There's like a storyline and everything. It's really cool. If you get a chance ever to go see it, they're really great live.
I will certainly check that out. So I didn't even realize this. Connor Thomas is in the other studio filling in for Andrew. I'm here for the cuz. And I saw him running to the, I'm running to the bathroom because that's what I do when I drink 17 gallons of water a day. And I see Dylan McKinnon. I'm like, oh, let me. I'm like, Dylan, you just hanging out till like you're going to be on. He's like, no, I got the phones for you. So thank you to Dylan, man. I didn't realize that the midday shows and the whole morning and everybody, you got the flow. It's so I like that. I appreciate. So it's not just it's me, Connor, and Dylan. When you call, he'll say hello. By the way, facts versus speculation. A couple weeks ago, there was some speculation that Doug Peterson may, I believe the terminology was, he may not be upset about getting fired, right? So 2 days ago, you know how we do the Zooms and everything with Doug, but surprisingly, that never came up in any of the, no one ever asked, I asked him directly in just a one-on-one conversation, and I wrote about it. And so this was a story that we put out because this wasn't speculative. This wasn't disproving someone's speculation. This was just a story on like Doug and the season and the team. And he said to me exact words, I don't want out of Philly. It is a great place to work. I said, Doug, what about the you know, reports? He said, that is the furthest thing from the truth. And he said, you know, we've had a ton of success around here in my 5 years. This is a down year for a lot of reasons, but we are still in the thick of it. It's all about getting into the tournament. So speaking of that, being in the thick of it, the Eagles, had they defeated the Arizona Cardinals, would now control their own playoff hopes. But because they lost, now they need help. And the help that they need is, it's not like crazy. They need the Carolina Panthers as a 2.5-point dog to beat the Washington football team in Washington. And they have a quarterback situation where Dwayne Haskins is likely. We still don't know if Alex Smith is healthy enough to play. Dwayne Haskins not only has not played well at quarterback, he had that whole situation in Washington after the game the other day where he went out, he partied maskless. There were photos of him. It was a birthday party, I believe, for his girlfriend. And obviously, they're not going to suspend him. To think that the Carolina Panthers, as a 2.5-point underdog, could go to Washington and win that football game is not unrealistic. And then the Eagles is a 1.5-point favorite on the road in Dallas with Jalen Hurts can win that football game. And then all it comes down to is week 17 Eagles at home against Washington. So it's really not that outrageous. Now, 2 years ago, the Eagles had greater odds. Final week of the season, week 17 in 2018, they needed the Chicago Bears as a 6.5-point underdog with nothing to play for because their position in the playoffs was all locked up to go to Minnesota and beat the Vikings and Kirk Cousins. You like that? It happened.
Unbelievable.
Remember that?
And you know what happened the next week?
The Eagles go to Chicago.
Yeah, and they... Oh, my goodness. You lose. They had, what, 13 wins that year? The Bears did?
Was that a 12, 13 win season?
Yeah, and you lose that season on the double doink, of course.
Well, people forget about the double doink, and Nick Foles gets all the credit for strapping a team on his back.
I mean, that game stunk.
It did stink.
That game was terrible.
But to Nick's credit, he did throw the go-ahead touchdown late in the game.
That was the one touchdown they had that day, I think.
Yeah. And then if you want to go back to 2008, the different era, different regime, different players, but the Eagles went into week 17 in that crazy scenario where they needed the Raiders a 13.5-point underdog to beat Jeff Garcia's Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 1 o'clock. And they did. Then they needed the Bears to lose to the Texans. And they did. And when that happened, Eagles at 4 against Dallas suddenly went from a nothing game to winner gets in, loser goes home. You remember the score of that game?
Dude, 44-6.
44-6. 44-6. That I just said one of the easiest games to cover. That was right there, too.
Yeah.
It was just a massacre.
Yeah, because I was young back in 08. I remember it.
I was young.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you were a kid.
Yeah, but I remember, I forget where I was out somewhere, and I remember like going by a TV. I don't know if I was in the mall or something with my parents or whatever, mm-hmm. and going by the TV because the Birds didn't play till later, and the Raiders-Buccaneers game was on, and the Raiders were just taking them to the woodshed.
It was crazy.
And it was just like you had the feeling of they were really, everything was going to fall the Birds' way. Do you have that this year?
You know what sucks? I hate this. The NFL moved the game, Carolina, Washington, to 4. I wanted to know at 4, right? I wanted to know going into the 4:25 kickoff, Eagles-Dallas. But Doug Peterson yesterday said, no, he likes it this way. I get there's no letdown.
Right.
You're going to go out there. So the Eagles are going to play. This essentially now becomes, it's a must-win football game. And the Eagles, since 2017, are 11-2 in must-win football games. So this is their time. Last week wasn't must-win. It didn't eliminate them. This is a must-win. They're 11-2. I know we're all talking about draft picks and everything else. It's not crazy to think that Carolina could beat Washington. Eagles could beat Dallas. And then they're playing Washington final week of the season for a playoff berth and the right to host Tom Brady or Russell Wilson, or Jared Goff. And then imagine that. What if it's the Rams in the 5 seed? They come back here, part 2, right? Sean McVay came here, out-coached Jim Schwartz in week 2. It can't happen, Connor. Talk me off that. It's Christmas getting me all giddy.
I don't think there's any way. But here's the thing. So I talked to somebody. I forget who I was on with. I was trying to figure out whether I want them to tank or whether I want them to make this run.
This conversation.
Yeah, I thought it was me and you.
Yeah.
And I was kind of on the edge. It was right before the Arizona game. And I was like, it depends how Jalen Hurts played because we saw a little bit of something from him when they played New Orleans. If he gives the impression that he can make some noise in the playoffs, then maybe I'm in. And they did lose the game, which would seem to push me in the direction of, okay, tank, get the higher draft pick.
Uh-huh.
But the funny thing is, his performance.
Yeah.
He looks really good.
Right?
He goes ahead and puts up like over 400 yards of total offense. And now I'm like, I mean, back-to-back good teams, on the road for one. Like, maybe they can make some. I'm starting to fall into that trap, too. And it's wrong. I know it's wrong. In the back of my head, I'm like, they've got no shot.
Like 6-9-1.
But it's the same thing as last year. We're kind of getting into that last year territory where you know, last year they were so ruined with injuries. It's like, even if they get in, it's a long shot for them to try and make it. But it's kind of that same magic where Wentz got hot at the end last year, won four games, and you start to believe Hurts is kind of, even though they didn't win, that performance, it's planting that seed in the back of my head that I got to keep telling myself, it's not real. They're not going to go on a run. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the kid looks good. They've woken up a little bit. There's, I guess, a minuscule chance of a Christmas miracle.
That's exactly what it would be, a Christmas miracle. 610-632-0975. Let me get Mitch in East Windsor. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mitch?
Happy holidays, Rob.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Same to you. Happy holidays.
Thanks. The holidays are just rough. I'm always working. Too much work.
Oh,
too much online shipping, you know. I'm in the delivery business.
Are you really?
There we are.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Keep being an author.
Do you,
this is your side job.
Mitch, do you get to, do you go to houses in the delivery business?
Oh, yeah. I like the phone. Okay. Carry door bones with me.
So my wife and kids love to leave stuff out for, because she's got an Amazon package coming every day, maybe sometimes three.
Yeah.
So she leaves Gatorades, water, stuff. Do people do that?
Yeah, they've been doing that lately. I prefer cash, but they've been very generous. They've been very generous the last couple of years. That's why I came for my last peak.
That's great.
I'm getting a new hip. I suggest you keep the original is always the best. The original stuff. I'll make this quick.
Sure.
So I hope Tobias Harris could be the third superstar, because my Clippers, of course, they trade him, get Shimon, and they wheel him for Kennard. He's really a backup, and they give him all that money. I don't know what the Clippers are doing. They're always going to be second banana to the Lakers. So that, and also the price, I think, for James Harden has gone down a little bit, you know, being that he loves to eat and King doesn't realize there's a pandemic out there. And when your Eagles, I think they stumbled upon a quarterback. I think he'd be a pretty good quarterback for the future. I'm hoping Wentz can either, you know, be happy to back, which he says he won't. But I think
they're not paying him to be a backup, Mitch. If the Eagles decide that they want Jalen Hurts to be a starter, then the Eagles are going to decide Carson Wentz's future for him. There is no way this organization is going to pay a backup quarterback $128 million over the next 4 years.
They should have given that contract if they were going to draft. Well, he wasn't the best available at second round. He wasn't not. I wish he had drafted two wide receivers.
They put themselves in this situation, Mitch. And
very bad. Would they draft two wide receivers in this upcoming draft? I'm thinking of Harris, Amon-Ra, St. Brown, and also Tyler Vaughn. These are both USC. I'm a USC fan.
It's going to depend on also, do they get a top 10 pick, or does the miracle of Christmas Carolina beating Washington happen and the Eagles drop? They can actually, if they win, they drop to 21. You don't want that to happen. You want the top 10, don't you?
Yeah, they're not going to go anywhere in the playoffs.
Of course not.
This is an anomaly, this division here.
All right, Mitch.
Washington's looking for a quarterback. Thanks a lot. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you, man. Happy holidays. Yeah, they're looking for a quarterback. Alex Smith was able to step in there for him and get him to the point where they went from 2-7 to 6-8 leading the NFC East. And if Washington beats Carolina, beats the Eagles, well, you won't have that whole losing team wins a division scenario. They have an 8-8 team. That's ugly, but it's not as bad as 7-9 or 6-9-1 or whatever else it could be. Pat in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Pat?
Hey, guys. Rob, I feel the same way you do. If I could trade steps right now with the Carolina Panthers, I'd do it in a heartbeat. And I'm so afraid that Carolina's going to go into Washington and beat the Skins.
The football team.
Football team. I'm sorry. I just, you know, habit. I just, the quarterback for Washington, Haskins, is horrendous. He's like an accident waiting to happen. He makes a lot of bad decisions. He's obviously immature. He hasn't been around long enough. I'm not sure that that's going to make any difference or not.
They don't want he's not their future. They made that clear when they benched him earlier in the season, and they're going to move on from him. But now they find themselves in a predicament where they're fighting for the NFC East division title, and Kyle Allen's hurt, and he's out for the season. and you have Alex Smith banged up, and they may have to rely on Dwayne Haskins, immature and all that stuff that you just alluded to beat Carolina. So that's why I don't think this is a absolute lock that Washington wins. This could
happen. I don't either. As I said, I certainly would like to see I want to see the Eagles lose out. I hate to root against them. I never have before. But I think even though this isn't a really strong draft, you'd certainly rather pick in a top 10 than pick later where they would end up if they ended up, because Dallas is hapless, too. I mean, if anybody watched them play, they're almost, I think they're worse than Washington personnel-wise.
Dallas has some, they've had talent. They obviously lost Dak Prescott. They have talent. They just haven't been able to put things together. They're favored. They're favored on the road in Dallas to beat Andy Dalton and the Cowboys. So that could certainly happen. They're favored to win. Carolina can win. Pat, you have a great holiday season, man. I appreciate the call. Thank you, man. I'm sorry. I hit the button too soon. I appreciate that, Pat. Thank you. Connor, people still don't get it, man. Why do I even see I need to mute all notifications. Not just mute people. I need to mute all notifications.
Just lock up the Twitter account and just no retweets, no responses.
It's like, you got a guy going, Wentz needs to fire his agent for leaking the report or something. Like, Adam himself said, I didn't talk to Wentz and I didn't talk to his agent. What do you want more from the guy? It wasn't his agent.
It's people not listening, man. They see the report. They run with it. One corrects them.
The report wasn't even, it was a common sense.
Yeah.
Carson's not happy. Let me use the exact words. I'm not in the business of misquoting people. So let me find the exact terminology. He doesn't sound particularly pleased about being a backup. Duh. Well, of course not. He's a competitor. He himself said, obviously, that's frustrating as a competitor. Just the personality that I have. I want to be the guy out there. You could safely make that assumption. And then, part two, if he's going to be a backup, do people not understand the word if refers to a potential happening? If he's going to be a backup. Connor, if I had a $10 million account right now, I wouldn't be doing any of this sports stuff.
It sounds like the old Bill Clinton thing. It depends what the definition of is. Like, you just got to know what the words mean, guys. Read the stuff. Take it for what it means. You can't be inferring things. If he's a backup, then this.
If he's a backup... And then even beyond that, I don't know that he'll want to remain in Philadelphia. He could potentially wind up asking for a trade. I could potentially walk into program director Chuck D'Amico's office and say, Chuck, I demand a four-year, $128 million contract. I am not doing any more shows on the Fanatic unless I get 4 years, $128 million, because I'm tired of dealing with nonsensical trolls. I could do that, potentially. I could ask for that. Carson's is a little bit more realistic than my scenario. He most certainly could potentially wind up asking for that, but he hasn't yet. His agent hasn't yet. He hasn't come to that determination yet. The Eagles have not come to a determination yet. Why is there such a need to jump to judgment and conclusion before something actually happens? Come on, y'all. Don't ruin my Christmas spirit. I'm going to, Connor, okay, you got to keep me, smack me upside the head.
Come
man.
On, man. Jingle it's bells. Christmas Eve.
No,
we're good.
Right?
Yeah, we're just having a good time. We're hanging out.
Little joy to the world.
There you go. Come on. It's Christmas Eve. Yeah. You're going to go home. You're going to make your latte.
Yes.
You're going to sit around. You're going to watch the Hallmark movies. I got to go home. Listen to this. I haven't started wrapping any presents yet. I don't ever until Christmas Eve. So I'm going to go get a six-pack. I'm going to go home.
You get a six-pack.
Yeah, I do. And what I do is I get Christmas presents for my mom and my brothers, who I'm going to see tomorrow. Uh-huh. So I'm going to have my mom help me wrap my brothers, and then my brother will come up, and he'll help me wrap my mom's. We'll have some beer. We'll hang out.
That's good.
It's going to be a great time. We don't have to worry. We're not going to check Twitter for the trolls. Not going to worry about any stories or anything. It's going to be fun.
You know what I need? I need this before I go. Maybe just interspersed in the show. It doesn't have to be coming back. I need Mariah Carey's Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Oh, okay.
Just maybe we can play like a little 20 seconds, a little 30, whatever it is at some point. Maybe we can do that. Let me get to Stan in Drexel Hill. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Stan?
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you? Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, man.
Same to you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that. Listen, I wanted to touch on the Sixers, man. I got to tell you, it was just kind of like refreshing to see this team, you know.
Yeah.
And think about how spoiled we are, how the fact that it was only 71 days ago. Well, that the NBA Finals were over, but, you know, it wasn't that long ago that the Sixers were playing in the bubble.
It's true.
Like a weird little feeling where it feels like it was ages ago, but also like it was yesterday. I can't really explain it.
And it ends up that the Sixers will not have lost a game, right, in their building
in a full calendar year.
How about that?
It's wild. And you look at it, and last night, Devon said something on his post-game show that I agree with. This team would have found a way to lose that game last year. Mm. They would have found a way to lose that game last year.
As tight as it was down the stretch.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the type of thing you want to see early, right? You know, as the season goes on, you hope that they, you know, progress in a way where they're not blowing leads. And, you know, having a 13-point lead in the NBA is really nothing. We just saw last night that both teams were up by double digits. And both teams were able to make a run and eventually take the lead. So, you know, the NBA is based on runs, and that's what happens. The Lakers were down by a whole lot to the Clippers. They came. It's literally what the NBA does. The turnovers, you hate to see that. I think they had like 20 turnovers or maybe a little bit less.
Quite a bit. Four out of Ben Simmons, three out of Joe. Mm-hmm. They're up there.
So that's the thing that you want to see get cleaned up as the season progresses. And I think you will. I don't have Danny Green, you know, going 0-for-5 or whatever from three. I don't got Steph Curry. Seth Curry came along down the stretch, hit some nice shots for us. I think they'll get better as they start to gel. But to me, out of all the things, it was Tobias. And I'm going to say why. I know it's just one game. It's the first game. But I feel like that's going to be the move that has to be made. Mm. Now, whether that's the move that deals that you try to do a deal for the James Harden, if Houston is willing just to take anything at that point, or maybe you can try to spin it for like a Zach LaVine or a Victor Oladipo. But that's the move that has to be done, because I think as the season progresses, you're going to see Joe playing the whole fourth quarter. I think that's by design, and I think you're going to see a lot more often Joel playing those minutes that we want him to play down the stretch. Ben is going to give you what Ben gives you. You know, he's going to do those type of things, whether it's the steals and the rebounds and the assists and you know, 16, 17 points. That's what you're going to see. But it's that third guy. And I just don't think Tobias is that option right now. I just don't think going forward you can really rely on him to be that third guy.
Stan, you're not the only one who feels that way. There's a lot of people that feel that way. And that could unfortunately end up being a scenario. I hope with the new with Doc and the new staff, the way the team is set up, that doesn't end up happening. He could figure things out and be that guy. But right now,
because we want that. Like, it just doesn't seem like
you're right.
It's the way because I don't see him like, well, we play on Saturday, right? I don't think he's going to play as bad. I don't think so.
Oh, you can bounce back. Yeah, have a good game.
Yeah, I think he'll pay. And that's the type of game that you want to do that against. Like, that's the type of team. Mm-hmm. The problem is when we need him the most, you know, when we need him against those Clippers and those Bucks and those guys. Like, you know, Joel's going to come and bring his A game. You know, Ben's going to come and try to bring his A game and all that. You know, even a guy like Dwight Howard, who I love as a pickup coming off the back, you know, coming off the bench as a backup for Joel, looks like it's, you know, a godsend, right? And you're looking at it, and you know what these guys are kind of going to bring you. Even a guy like Shake, he just seems like he had that flag in that top.
Absolutely.
But Tobias, I just don't know, man. I just don't know. I think
Stan,
I
got to run, man. I appreciate it. You have a happy holiday and a merry Christmas. Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.
Have a good one. 610-632-0975. Actually, Les Bowen is going to join us when we come back. Chris, hang on. I'll get to you first up
after that. Today's show, Takeover, is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. More ways to win. I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It. You guys are the best. 1 p.m. 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Rob Motti filling in for the cuz Anthony Gargano, Connor Thomas in for Andrew Salchunas, and Dylan McKinnon here as well. 610-632-0975. Les Bone's going to join us in a couple minutes. Let's get to Chris in Williamstown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Rob. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's to you and the family.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate that. Same to you.
Thank you. Over our years of talking, Rob, since you've been at the Fanatic, I've kind of gone back and forth with, you know, there's certain things you agree heavily with that I may disagree with, and things that you may agree with that I actually agree with. You know, here's where I stand with our boy Carson, because the only jersey I've ever bought in my life and put like more than $100 down on was a Carson Wentz jersey, and I still have it, and I will wear it every day, go on week they play. But Jalen Hurts has already shown why I think the bridge has been permanently burned between Carson Wentz and the Eagles. You see him go out there and absolutely run the plays that are designed to run, that a guy who is healthy should be able to run. You know, I'm starting to think all those kills that Carson is doing, and doing it more often, was because something in him felt that he could not make that play the way he used to make that play before all the numerous injuries, the 600 hits he's ever taken in his career. You know, I really think that's changed the kind of quarterback that Carson Wentz is trying to become instead of what Doug Peterson is trying to make him. Do you kind of see where I'm going with this?
I see where you're going. I don't think Carson will kill out of a play because he feels that he can't make that play happen. You kill out of a play because you look at the defense, you survey the defense, you see what they're going to do, and you go, well, this play is doomed against this defense. I don't think it's him saying physically, I'm not able to perform this, because they're running that play in practice. They probably ran those plays last December. Now, going back to your original statement about the bridge being burned, it could very well be. It could very well be. And I have gone on record and said, me personally, myself, this isn't from Carson. It's not from Carson's camp. It's not from anyone close to Carson. If it was me, my advice to Carson would be, you need a fresh start somewhere else. I just don't think he's going to be able to do it here or win here in Philadelphia. It's, if anything, this past 4 or 5 days of outrageous character assassination to a speculative story, that should be the final nail in the coffin. Chris, I got to run, man. I appreciate the call. You have a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday. Thank you so much. But right now, I want to get the thoughts of someone who covers the team and does a fantastic job for the Philadelphia Inquirer. He is Les Bowen. He joins us on a Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Les, how are you, my friend?
How you doing, Rob?
Les, I'm doing good, and I want to bring more sensibility. I feel like more people need to hear sensibility. And I want to go and start with Sunday with you, Les. And I don't know where you were when you heard the report. I know it took me a few hours. I was busy. I didn't get to see it right away. But I went back and listened to it now, and I've talked about it, and the exact terminology from Adam Schefter in his Sunday report, and I quote, this is part one. Les, he said,
Carson doesn't sound particularly pleased about being a backup. And I'll tell you, I don't know if you asked the question of Carson after the Packers game. Whoever asked the question, Carson himself said, it's frustrating as a competitor and the personality I have. I want to be the guy out there. So that part of it, he doesn't sound particularly pleased. Do you need inside sources or common sense to come to that determination?
Yeah, there wasn't much in the report overall that was any different from what you would expect. It was framed, though. What I saw, I never actually watched him do. I saw the tweet that like they wrote up a little report
for the website. Yeah.
And the headline was something like, the question might not be what the Eagles decide to do with Carson Wentz, but what Carson Wentz decides to do, you know, which makes you think that you're getting some sort of broadside reply from Carson, you know, about this situation, especially given that it's Adam Schefter who, you know, is the most, you know, he has millions of Twitter followers and he's, The guy who's the conduit a lot of times between agents and teams and, you know, teams and the public, they kind of trade information with him a lot. So that gave it a gravitas that, you know, but yeah, you're right. Everything that was said in there that was supposed to be from Carson was incredibly innocuous.
And then the second part of that, Les, the second part of what Adam said on the air, if he's going to be a backup, I don't know that he'll want to remain in Philadelphia. He could potentially wind up asking for a trade. It's a future scenario that very well could happen.
Yeah.
No one gave him that information. That's information that you can go, if A equals B, then C, right? So when that's put out there and then... My issue wasn't the report itself. My issue wasn't the fan base reaction. It was media taking it and twisting it into Carson or his agent are leaking information to Adam Schefter game day to sabotage the team. How dare he? He's so selfish. And then the character assassination comes from the media, including former players. What did you think of that?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We quickly got to people, you know, headlines like, since Carson wants out, what happens next? You know, and that's, it's kind of the age we live in with social media and frankly, talk radio. There's a certain inevitability about getting to these places if Jalen Hurts continues to start and play well, but to act like we're already there is really weird. And, you know, I was not shocked by the reaction, but I did think it was disingenuous on the part of a lot of people.
Well, then I came out a few hours later. I spoke to the people directly involved and said that Carson isn't even there. He's not even thinking about that. He's trying to finish the season out. I appreciate you being among those who shared that out there just to make sure we have balanced information. So let's move on from Carson Wentz and this saga and this drama. This team right now does face a very interesting dilemma. Jalen Hurts has played very well in two games. What do you make of two games? Can they really make a franchise-altering decision based on even four games if he continues this path?
Well, that's what's going to be fascinating to watch, Rob. I don't know. I don't think I'd be happy doing that. But here's the thing. Even if they decided that they wanted to move on without Carson, we've talked about this before, the $34 million dead cap charge, I mean, you get draft picks back, sure, but you're already farther over the cap in 2021 than any other team. Adding $34 million to that for an asset that you're not going to have on your team is one thing you could do. It would be ruinous in terms of trying to build a team around Jalen Hurts. The other thing you could do is keep both of them around, even if Jalen Hurts wins the job, which obviously Carson would not be happy with.
but he would still be under contract.
Correct.
And you'd have Carson here as Plan B. You'd be spending $34 million on Plan B instead of nothing, which I think might frankly be the way it, you know, ultimately, if this is the case, if they decide that Jalen Hurts is their future, I'm not there yet, certainly, but mm-hmm. I just don't see them the day after the season sitting down and saying, okay, how do we trade Carson Wentz? I don't think that's going to happen. I think a lot of the fan base is incredibly naive about, you know, how the NFL works, and, you know, people seem to have the memories of goldfish about quarterbacks and small sample sizes. Mike Sielski did an excellent column.
I was just going to point that out. That was terrific.
Yeah. You know, Bobby Hoyings and Jeff Garcias and, you know, things that have happened.
Corey Detmer.
Yeah. And you can even, you know, Carson won his first three games.
Oh, his numbers were terrific that year.
Starter with almost no preparation. And then the fourth game was actually his best statistically. Mm-hmm. They lost to Detroit because Ryan Matthews fumbled late in the game. But, you know, Carson's first four games were tremendous. Carson's last four games of last season were excellent. And, you know, I can't make any. I like Jalen Hurts' personality, and I like his talent.
Mm-hmm.
I think he definitely has talent, and I think he's a leader. But I'm glad I'm not making the decision. I'll tell you that. I don't know what the right decision is. And there is going to be a right decision and a wrong decision here. We're going to look back on this 10 years from now and say they either made the right choice in, you know, going with this guy, or, oh, my God, what a disaster. This plunged the franchise into the dark ages because they went with that guy over this guy, you know?
You mentioned Jalen's leadership skills, his talent. I think he's got excellent perspective. You know what the both of us need to do is heed some of his advice and stay away from the rat poison, right, Les? That was one of the all-time great ones. So here's the scenario. Going into this Sunday, and I know nobody thinks this team can do anything in the playoffs, and obviously I don't either, but they've actually overcome greater odds. Like, it's not inconceivable, Les, to think that the Carolina Panthers, a 2.5-point underdog, can go to Washington against what is a mess of a quarterback situation for that Washington football team, with Dwayne Haskins likely to have to start again, and win that game, to which then the Eagles have control of their playoff destiny. You know, we talk about Doug Peterson's record, 11-2 in must-win games. Here we go. Here's a must-win game. Would this shock you? Would it surprise you if we're at this point going into Week 17, Eagles-Washington for the division?
No, it sure wouldn't. I would pick Washington with Ron Rivera playing against his old team.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of think that's the... But this quarterback thing that happened this week that you mentioned is fascinating, and it really points to how unsettled that franchise still is. Even though they have some good players, and I think they might have the best healthy talent in the division overall, when you know, subtract all the guys the Eagles are still missing and are going to be missing for the rest of the season. But I would not be shocked. The Panthers have been real up and down. They, you know, they don't have Christian McCaffrey, and they're some weeks they score points and some weeks they don't, and you know, it's really hard to – they're well coached by Matt Rhule, but, you know, yeah, that's kind of a coin flip game. And certainly the scenario exists where the Eagles could be playing for the division in the finale with Washington coming here.
One last one for you, Les, because I was listening to Doug's news conference today, and the one part that stood out to me was the glowing praise for Alshon Jeffrey. What do you think that was all about?
Boy, that's a tough one, Rob. I heard that, and I kind of thought,
but
frankly, given it a lot of thought, I do think maybe Doug feels Alshon has been unfairly maligned during all this.
Could be.
I think the thing with Josina Anderson was, assuming it was indeed Alshon, and I think it probably was, just him blowing off some steam and not ever thinking it would be reported. You know, I don't really think he's the mortal enemy of Carson Wentz or of anybody on the team. And, you know, I just think Doug doesn't want – Doug likes his guys. And Alshon has such a horrible reputation in this town right now.
Yeah.
There are some fans that just every time his name is mentioned, you know, it's like he's Danny Watkins or something, you know. I think Doug wanted to point out that Alshon probably is working with the young guys.
Yeah, and, you know, we've heard Jalen Reagor say he's like a mentor, big brother. So we've heard that.
Yeah. You know, I don't think Alshon has any quickness left, and I think he makes way too much money. But that's not really his fault.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he didn't decide to get slow. but that's kind of what happens in sports. You know.
Well, that's Les Bowen, man. Thank you, Les.
Yeah.
I appreciate you. You can be followed on Twitter at Les Bowen, theinquirer.com. Great stuff as always, and I appreciate your time. Happy holidays to you, Les.
You too, Rob. Take care.
Thank you so much. That was Les Bowen. Appreciate him joining us on a Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward. And it was a kind of, you and I both had the same reaction about Alshon. I'm like, huh, okay. Okay, I'm just, there can't be a scenario where next year in cap hell, no, right, Connor?
Well, I mean, he's been a leader to the young receivers. He's invaluable.
Can he
would never complain about, like, not getting enough targets.
Maybe
a certain tight end gets too many targets. So.
Can he be back next year with the contract situation? He's under contract.
No chance. Sorry.
It's not.
See you, buddy.
Hey, that, you know, and I'm one to believe in guys maturing and, you know, you take a step back, you take a step out. And as Les put that, right, maybe that was him just blowing off some steam. If indeed it was, we don't know. If indeed it was him in that report that just seemed, maybe it was him just blowing off some steam and didn't expect that to be tweeted or whatever she did at the time. I'm not sure. Does she still? I'm not sure if she's...
Yeah, she had a tweet, I forget what it was, about Carson recently. I don't think she is, but she's still out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I saw that because a lot of people were tagging, like, my report, sending it to her. Like what happens is, and it just makes, it's so uncomfortable, and I try not to follow all that, because, like, I put it out, and then people will send what I said to the Ryan Clarks, to
the guys who were commenting on the original,
The dude from ESPN who's on with Stephen A. Smith.
Kellerman?
Yes. To B. West. He was, you know, and a lot of, they would send that. And I'd be like, I don't want to be in the, I don't want, you know, just send it to him, but I don't want to be in the, I don't want to be in a back and forth.
Right. And yeah. No, you just wrote the story. You don't want to get in an argument with these guys.
I'm putting it out there, but I saw a lot of my report tagged to her, so I knew she said something. I just don't know what it was.
Yeah. I saw the tweet. I didn't dive into it because she's...
I don't care what it was.
Yeah, not worth the time to read it.
I don't care what it was.
Either way, Alshon can't be on this team next year. And, like, does it seem weird to you how the production has changed with Alshon since Jalen Hurts came in as opposed to when Carson was...
I did predict the day of the game, his first game against the Saints. It was two predictions. One, because J-Jaw was active. I said, watch Alshon ball out. And JJ make a big play. Well, JJ didn't do anything. But Alshon had a touchdown.
Yeah, he did.
Then last week, he's got season high in yards receiving. And then also drew two pass interferences on Patrick Peterson.
And he's fighting to break up, like, clear interceptions and everything.
Carson throws him a ball at the 5. He jumps up and comes down.
He's not in the same zip code.
It's right in its pick.
But now all of a sudden, he's playing. He could be our starting defensive back. He could have started at corner last week with a couple guys out when Jalen Hurts is playing corner. I'm just saying, it's a little fishy.
It's all coincidental. But here's the thing. When they need a Hail Mary protector back there,
Hey, put Alshon out. Put him back there in the backfield. Like you just said, he can knock down.
Yeah, as long as Jalen Hurts is starting. Because if Carson had started the game, you know he'll do one of those soft tip-ups to a wide receiver where they're just standing there in the end zone.
And then somebody might make a diving catch. I saw a lot of people upset that Dallas.
He's like, such a shame, Carson. I gave up that last-second Hail Mary by tipping it right to the defender. But you should have thrown more touchdowns.
That's Connor Thomas, everybody. That's not me. That's Connor Thomas.
That's me.
Bonnie and Pottstown here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bonnie?
Yeah, so I'm calling about Carson Wentz.
Yes.
I met Jeffrey Lurie one time. Well, I didn't really meet him. I was at the Lehigh Valley where they practice, and I thought he was a newscaster. And the guy next to me told me, no, that's the owner.
Oh, wow.
Always had respect for him because I thought he wasn't like Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. After this season, I'm so sick of the drama. I've been following them for over 30 years. I'm sick of it. They brought this drama on themselves, and now all of us have to deal with it. First off, why, draft a second-round pick? Carson played good his first two games. Does everybody forget that? Like, I just don't get why they did this.
That's the question, Bonnie. We all go back to draft day, and we shake our heads and say, what was the team thinking after giving a guy a four-year, $128 million contract?
Yeah. Yeah.
And here you are less than it's at that time. It was June 2019 to what, April 2020. So you're not even a year later and you're bringing in a guy. And okay, I understood maybe they're enamored with the idea that he can be a Taysom Hill type guy. Maybe they're excited by the fact that they would have a backup quarterback who can actually be active on game day and do some things and play five or six plays. And in the unfortunate instance, if Carson gets injured, you don't have Josh McCown going out there 45 years old on one leg. You have Jalen Hurts. So I thought that. But then as you think more and more and more about it, you should be trying to build around the franchise quarterback.
Right.
You have.
And you'd like get a receiver. Mm. When's the last time we had a good receiver, Tio? And we went to the Super Bowl.
A Pro Bowl, a number one, a clear cut. Now, DeSean Jackson's been a Pro Bowl player. Jeremy Maclin had a 1,000-yard season, but they're not T.O.
No, I mean, look, why won't we do that? Why won't you give Carson somebody that you can throw to? Do people forget, like, what a kind person he is? It just makes me mad how they are so negative. I don't care who's a quarterback. Honestly, if Jalen Hurts or Carson, I just think they did this the way they did it. Was shady, and I don't like the drama they brought to our town. They make us all look evil by saying mean things about the quarterbacks. Like, this is a team, and I blame Howie, and I blame Jeffrey for letting him go get him.
I mean,
it's ridiculous. What they did to this city with sports for a football team is horrible. Instead of bringing people together, you divided us.
Bonnie, you make good points. I hope you have a happy holiday season.
Yes, I will, even though the drama continues.
I know. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great one.
Yes.
Thank you. My man Harry Hustle checking in, calling. Alshon took one for the team, he says. It wasn't him who told Josina, but he took the heat for it. He's a martyr. That's why the team respects him. How y'all going to feel when Alshon's on the team next year, but Carson is not? I'm not going to feel
that. That's not true!
I'm not going to feel any kind of way. I kind of hope, like, for Carson's sake that he's not here. I would rather, my advice to him would be, my advice to Carson would be, go demand that trade. That's what it would be. I haven't told him yet. Said some other things to him in the past week, but I haven't told him that part yet. But in the very unlikely scenario that he's actually listening right now, Carson, I would demand the trade. He hasn't gotten to that point. I completely understand where he's at. I understand that he wants to finish the season. I understand he wants to be a great teammate. I understand he wants to be supportive. 2 weeks from now, if I was him, I'd say, I'm out. Please, I don't want to come back. That's me. That's me, Rob Motti, not Carson Wentz. And if Alshon's here, hey, man, that's great. He's been a great teammate. So he's been a mentor to some guys. Now, what's his dead cap money? Thank you, Mike, for sending this in. It saves me 2 seconds from looking it up. Appreciate that, Mike. $10,659,500 dead cap money for Alshon. Woo! 610-632-0975. Today's show takeover is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, more ways to win. Jay, hang on. I'll get to you next. Rob Motti, 97.5, The Fanatic.
It's the Cuz, Anthony Gargano. Weekdays 10 to 2 on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Buffalo and New England are facing off in a Monday night showdown, and FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you the chance to get an even bigger win when you get to bet the game. For every 2,500 fans who bet on Buffalo to cover, FanDuel Sportsbook will move the line 1 point in Buffalo's favor. There's no limit to how good this line can get. As long as enough fans keep betting, the line will keep on moving. And best of all, FanDuel will pay you out at whatever the line lands at by kickoff, so you don't have to wait to get in on the action. Make sure to tell your friends so the line gets even bigger. When they did this for Milwaukee versus Philly, the line moved from +8.5 to 59.5. If you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, just look for the Spread the Love market to place your bet. And if you've been holding out, then here's your chance to start betting on FanDuel with incredible odds. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and be sure to sign up with promo code 97ROB. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code 97ROB. 21 plus, present in New Jersey or PA, must wager in designated crowdfunding market. Max wager $50, payout at -110. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. There is just one thing I need. I don't care about the presents underneath the Christmas tree. I just want you for my own.
Welcome back, 97.5 The Fanatic. 1:30, Little Mariah is All I Want for Christmas.
Come on, sing it, Rob. I know you know the words.
All I Want for Christmas. It's for me on her album, that's not the number one. It's a good one. It's the most popular one. But I loved her rendition of what you played a little bit earlier, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. She's got a great Silent Night on there. She's got a great Joy to the World.
She's got a great voice. Great Christmas voice, too.
Yes, she
does.
Oh,
my goodness.
I think I went to a Mariah concert when I was younger. I think I did. I can't remember. I wasn't a big concert goer. The two that stick out were Britney Spears.
You went to a Britney Spears concert back in the day.
Two.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a different person with all different motives at the time.
All right.
Yeah. yeah. But other than that, I can't. I think there was a Mariah concert in there somewhere. But not recently, most recent concert I went to was people who've been on my Faith on the Field show, Unspoken, We Are Messenger, Elevation Worship. About it. I turn up the music on the, now it's on the iPhone, you know? It's different. Yeah, I'm not a, how about you? You're a concert goer? I mean, you did the Trans-Siberian
Orchestra. Yeah, so. That was just a one-time thing with the family. I'm a country music guy.
I like that.
Yeah, so.
I told you about Chase Rice, right?
Yeah, you did.
Great guy. I like that dude, man.
Yeah, a lot of good people. And my job before I was here, so I bartended a little bit at a place in Philly, and there was a guy who I bartended at a concert venue. Mm. It was a small one on the top floor of a bar.
I could see you doing that.
It was fun. Yeah. And the guy who ran it, was like he had connections. He had a studio down in Nashville, and he knew a bunch of the guys. So I ran into a couple of guys who are big in country music when I was doing that, just in passing. All seemed like great dudes. But I love country concerts. I love going out, cracking a couple cold ones, and when everything opens back up.
Well, a lot of the Hallmark Christmas movies that I try and take in with the family, usually they watch them, and I'm like, seeing it in the background. A lot of them, they got like a Nashville setting. They got a country music theme. They got something. So it's, I like that. A little Nashville country Christmas.
Yeah, that wouldn't be bad. There you go.
You down with that? All right, let me get to Jay in Boston. He's on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
What's going on, guys?
How are you, bud?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. So I don't listen much anymore, but I've been streaming lately, being sort of removed from you guys now. I used to live out there. But something I haven't heard talked about with this Jalen Hurts situation with Wentz, around the pick specifically and after the draft specifically, was all of Howie Roseman's talk about we want to be a quarterback factory. We want to develop quarterbacks.
Yes.
Remember all that?
Oh, yeah. We've quarterback factory goes right up there with gold standard as far as Eagles expressions that they'll never live down.
And right, exactly. And so do you remember what we got for Kevin Cobb, though?
Wasn't that DRC?
That was
Dominique Rogers Cromartie?
Plus a second.
Yeah, plus a second.
Now listen.
And A.J. Feely got him a second. Didn't A.J. Feely got him a second?
I think he might have.
Yeah.
So, now I'm not trying to say, like, how he's a genius, whatever. But, you know, we were all calling him a genius not too long ago. What if, it was time to sit Carson down and be like, dude, listen, you're not coachable lately. You need to chill. Plus, we get this guy. And it's probably not going to go anywhere this year. So, let's drive up his value a little bit. Let's spin him into who knows what for a pick. And then everyone hugs and gets back together with Carson.
The only way that works, Jay, is if they indeed do flip Jalen Hurts for a pick and higher than the 53. So you draft him at 53. If you're going to do that and you're going to potentially just blow up your organization with all kinds of quarterback drama that's fabricated from the outside world, not from the inside. They're not drinking the rat poison. But if you're going to do that, you better hope you can get something for Jalen Hurts. Like, I don't know. If you're a team, right? If you're another team, Jay, are you trading a late first-round pick for Jalen Hurts based on four games?
I don't know. I just know somebody traded a top-ranked corner at the time and a two for Cobb.
That's crazy. You're right.
Who knows is all I'm saying. I don't know.
The Kevin Cobb comparison is great because Howie was here. He was, and that happened. When is that trade? He became GM in 2010. The Eagles traded Kevin Cobb in the offseason of 2010. And like you said, they're able to flip him for DRC, who at the time was a top corner, and a second-round pick.
Yeah, and the Vikings pick trade with Bradford. Now, let's face it, Vikings were up against it late season break, right? It was a little bit different circumstances, but still, to get a first for Bradford, too? Like, I don't know, man. Might be something.
At that point, Kevin Cobb had only started seven games. So he had started seven games in his career when they flipped him like that. And in those seven games, Kevin Cobb was 7 touchdowns. Oh, no, actually, I didn't. He had 14 interceptions and 11 touchdowns. So they flipped a guy who had started seven games, went 3-4, had 11 touchdowns and 14 interceptions and a 73 passer rating into a second round pick in DRC. Great stuff, man. Good call.
Hey, have a good holiday, guys.
You too. Appreciate it. I didn't realize Kevin Cobb's numbers were that bad, and I covered that whole thing. I didn't realize they were 11 touchdowns, 14 picks. A 73 passer rating in those seven starts. Now, you got to take out the 1 year in 2008 when he had four interceptions. So take that out. Those weren't starts. Now let's go to the 09, 2010 season. He had 11 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. If you take out his second year, Kevin Cobb was here for 4 years. 4 years before he went to Arizona. Now, what do you think the likelihood of that is, Connor? That they can flip. Like, if I'm a team in the NFL right now, and Jalen has done what he's shown me against the Saints, and you know he's basically beat him with his legs, made some good throws, but what needed to be wasn't effective all that much passing. But then against Arizona, incredibly effective passing, over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns with his legs. Even if he does, say, roughly the same, are you trading a late one for Jalen Hurts?
Well, let's look at the need around the NFL. Yeah, there's only a few teams with need.
Okay.
And most of those teams are drafting high enough. Like, this is it's not a crazy deep quarterback class coming up, mm-hmm. but you've got four or five or six guys that you could argue could be starters in the NFL at the quarterback position.
All right, here's one for you. What about the Pittsburgh Steelers?
See, that's an interesting one because they're going to be a playoff team.
They're going to be a playoff team. But you have an aging quarterback
mm-hmm. with no heir.
They don't have a first-round pick. They traded it for Minkah Fitzpatrick.
Right. So they're not going to go ahead and pick one up in the draft, at least in the first round. The thing with them is Ben Roethlisberger already said that he's coming back for an 18th season. So I don't know if they'd want to go ahead and take a player that has already played and already started what would have been four games by the end of the season and put him behind Ben Roethlisberger and sit there. Now, Hurts hasn't had a training camp technically because of everything that happened with COVID. Mm-hmm. So they may want to sit him for a year. It seems like, though, if you're going to give up a first round pick, and I know they don't have one, but let's say
it says they have the 28th pick right now. Where is the pick that went to? I'm looking at something called tankathon.com.
Yeah.
and it's got the teams who have acquired, like the sixth pick, Miami has Houston's pick.
Yeah.
Right? That could even go up to a three. In Pittsburgh's case, it's got them at the 28th pick. Maybe the Fitzpatrick trade was for less. So then they're at 28.
Okay, so then you could look at that. The thing is, if you're going to trade the 28th pick for Jalen Hurts, mm-hmm. you're going to want to give a first round pick for a player that's going to start. He wouldn't start next year.
Yeah, because they're going to have Ben coming back.
Yeah, so I don't think they'd give up a first for a player who's going to sit for a year.
Okay.
Minnesota, maybe?
Let's see. Minnesota is right now, Minnesota would be picking at 14. Well, I would most certainly take the number 14 pick, but what's Kirk Cousins' contract situation?
But they still don't have an heir there. Yeah. So that seems more likely to be a draft pick. The tough thing is the teams that need a quarterback now are drafting high enough to go get one. Mm-hmm. And the teams that need to wait a year or two to get a quarterback, so they need to bring in someone young who's going to be the quarterback in the future, aren't going to give up a first round pick for a guy who's not going to start.
Well, Kirk Cousins' dead cap hit next year is $10 million. Cap hit's 45.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. So they're looking, if they drafted someone, they want to sit him for a year or two.
Yeah.
Give him like the Aaron Rodgers treatment. Yeah. Like they could do that, but they're not going to give up a first for Jalen Hurts to make him sit there for a little bit. They won't do that. So
Bears at 16, they're on the hook for it. Nick Foles isn't making a lot of money next year. And Mitchell Trubisky's going to be a free agent.
The Bears is interesting. Very interesting.
Could they potentially be, let's see, and that way with Jalen and Nick Foles, so Nick Foles 2022 cap hit is base salary $4 million. Cap hit 10.6.
Yeah, so that's no problem.
That
backup Eagles QB party up there in Chicago.
Can you imagine that scenario?
That'd be wild.
For the 16th pick, but then the Bears might be, well, we're at 16. Why are we in a quarterback heavy draft? Indianapolis at 23 looks like they would be the ideal trade partner for a Carson situation. But could it possibly be like a Jalen Hurts? Could it possibly be like, hey, if Frank Reich's going, I like this dual threat possibility here. He ran RPOs with Nick Foles. You run those with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, but like a lot of the draw to Indianapolis is the connection between Carson Wentz and Frank Reich. Frank Reich hasn't really had that like he's dealing with Phillip Rivers now. He had Carson Wentz as his quarterback when he was here as the
offensive coordinator. Carson's a whole lot more mobile than Phillip Rivers.
Right, but at the same time, Jalen Hurts is a lot more mobile than Carson. So it's like it's going to a different type of offense that they run there.
He won with Nick Foles.
Who's not very mobile.
He's pretty swift catching passes, though.
He is. Yeah, when he's got 5 yards of separation in the end zone, it helps. But the one against Atlanta on opening night the next year, he had a little bit of coverage on him. He made that catch, too. So, yeah, Nick Foles.
What about this scenario? Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They got the 22nd pick in the draft. Tom Brady's got one more year.
Brady would never let him do it. Brady would never let him do it.
Well, if there's one guy who doesn't have to look over his shoulder at all.
Yeah, but he already got rid of Jimmy G when he was looking over his shoulder. Mm-hmm. And that was when he's in New England, not prime, but like he had a lot more life ahead of him. Now it's just like he's fighting to still be able to play. I can't see Brady wanting them to trade a first. Like, think about all the weapons they've brought in for Brady. It's like overkill how many guys they brought in, because he wants every asset used to give him an offense that he can try and compete for a championship. He's not going to want him to bring in a young guy.
And they actually invest in their guy. They go, yeah, you know what? We got Tom Brady in. He's 43 years old. Let's go get every weapon we possibly can. Big Mick in South Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Big Mick? Happy holidays.
Yo,
Merry Christmas,
what's going
buddy.
On? What's going on, Rob? How y'all doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Yo, this is a question I had to ask, man. I'm just sitting back listening. I'm riding the car. It seems like y'all are technically getting rid of Hurts. Why is it like, it feel like a test y'all trying to trade him?
You just turned the show on after a caller suggested that. That's why.
You
haven't been listening to 3 hours.
I've been around shopping all day.
I haven't been talking about trading Jalen Hurts. It's more like Eagles. If I'm Carson Wentz, I tell the Eagles, he hasn't done it, Big Mick, but if I was him, I would tell him I need to go somewhere else. Even if the Eagles said to him, no, we want to make this work. No, we think we will make this work. No, we'll move Jalen Hurts. If I personally was Carson Wentz, I am not, I would say I'm out. Me personally, I would be like,
yeah, me too. I would say the same thing too. Because right now,
he's not there yet, but I would.
But I understand what you're saying, because he can't come in. He couldn't even come back into a game. Once he throw a get sack or interception, it's over. He's really going to go throw it again.
Yeah, and the thing is, Big Mick, the worst part of it is he didn't say anything about it, and then people destroyed him for 3 days this week.
And I love Carson. Listen, and I'm so crazy about the situation. Me and my wife got into arguments over Carson Wentz and Nick Foles. I mean, blatant out arguments. We both Eagles diehards, and we was arguing
Big,
about...
Big Mick, you arguing with your wife over quarterbacks, man. Come on.
Man, we was raised by the green blood, right? Our whole family, both our families were. So we arguing, she thought about they should have kept Nick Foles. And I'm saying, no, Carson. I argued for years, but I'm looking at a situation where this kid, Jalen Hurts, came into the game. On a game of Green Bay, he played good teams. It wasn't like he played slouchy teams. That's the whole thing that's impressive to me. One week they said he couldn't. Oh, he ran too much with the first game he started. Then the second game he threw too much. Now he couldn't throw. Now he
you're saying that? Nobody should be saying he threw too much. He had to throw last week.
I'm saying it too fast. I'm sorry.
Okay.
They said he couldn't throw.
I got
you. See what I'm saying? On the second start,
Big Mick, Jalen's looked great. He's played two good games, and I hope he can continue to develop. You, my man, have a very Merry Christmas.
You too, man.
Don't get into no more fights with the wife over football, all right?
We always going to be like that.
I love it, brother. Have a good one, man. Thank all you. Right. Let me get to Eric in Huntington Valley. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Eric?
Guys, great show as always.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
I wanted to talk about, like, my point. See, listen, I still believe in Carson Wentz, and I always will. I can't make a final decision on my opinion of Jalen Hurts after 4 games. I can't. I am torn a little bit because he is playing fantastic, but I believe in Carson Wentz.
Listen, I'm with you. I believe in Carson, but at this point, me personally, I would prefer that he goes somewhere else for his career. I agree. I can't make a determination on Jalen Hurts in 4 games. I like what he looked. I like the kid. I love his makeup. I love his poise. I love his character. I like his perspective. I like his talent. If he has 2 more great games, I'll still at the end of it say it's only 4 games and the jury's still out, but it's trending in the right direction.
But you made a great point though. So I would definitely trade Jalen Hurts for a first round pick, and we just have to. If Howie can draft right and just give Carson Wentz the protection, everything will be fine. But he can't draft.
That's the problem. I don't trust that first round pick. That's why I don't care. You know, people go, oh, they got to tank and lose and finish, get a top 10. No, win the stinking division. It don't matter at 6-9-1 because you hardly ever hit on those picks anyway.
I agree. Yo, do you think it's possible we can fire Howie and lure John Snyder from Seattle to get him for their new GM?
Howie's not going anywhere, Eric. He's not going anywhere. I would be shocked, man. Hey, have a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season. All right, brother?
Yeah, you too.
All right, have a good one. It's not happening. I just can't see it happening. People have reported they don't think it's happening. I'm not giving you factual information here. My speculation, this is not a fact. I don't believe that would happen. Keith or Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys, what's happening?
How are you, buddy?
You hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you loud and clear.
All right. I want to talk about this quarterback thing. This is getting out of hand. First of all, okay, everyone says, okay, they drafted Hurts, and that hurt Carson because now Carson is looking over his shoulder, right? The whole quarterback position is about playing under pressure. Now, Green Bay drafted a quarterback in the first round. Aaron Rodgers didn't look back once. He still went out there and played like Aaron Rodgers, right? Now, you put this kid in the game under the pressure, under all this pressure of watching his first-string quarterback not perform, and all everybody wants to talk about is what we could get for him. That's the most important position.
Keith, so, it's just conversation. Eagles got to make a decision, and I believe that regardless of whatever their decision will be, if I'm Carson Wentz, I don't want to come back. He hasn't said that. He hasn't said a bad word to anybody. He hasn't looked over his shoulder. He hasn't complained. He hasn't whined. None of that stuff. Jalen Hurts playing well. He's played two games. That's all. He's playing very well.
Right.
We played two games.
You're
Keith.
Right.
We saw Kevin Cobb play a couple good games. We saw Bobby Hoyne play a couple good games.
I know. You're right. But at the same time, they're not this kid. And the only way anybody's going to ever be able to find out whether this kid can or can't is if he gets the opportunity. Now, we got one guy that shows you every time the pressure gets on, he's faltering a little bit. Everybody's making excuses all the time. Last year, it was the receivers.
Last year he had pressure on the last four games, had to win them. He won them.
Okay.
Come on, man. Hey, I don't want to fight with you. Merry Christmas. I got to run. Happy holiday, brother. Have a good one. Let me get, I got to get out quickly. So let me get John in Huntington Valley. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, John?
Hi, Bunch. What's going on, guys?
How are you, buddy?
So my only question is, I mean, I can't stand Howie, but one thing he's been doing recently over the last few offseason is renegotiating contracts that are existing already to make room for the cap for the following year. Now, my question is I know the enormous cap hit that Carson's going to have if we get rid of him or sit him or whatever. Now, if Carson does want out, can he renegotiate his contract so it's not a hit and we can get rid of him?
John, my understanding is that the cap hit is going to be the cap hit because of the contract, the situation, the guarantees, and the money involved. So he can restructure his contract, but that's not going to help the team as far as the cap hit.
All right, so they're just, no matter what,
it's a predicament. It's a tough, very difficult predicament that they're in.
So, I mean, in reality, I mean, still the smartest thing to do is to get rid of him.
You're going to absorb a big cap hit if you do, but if that's the way the franchise wants to go, based on a couple games, that's on them, man. That's on them. If I was Carson Wentz, I wouldn't even wait for them to tell me we want to move you. I would walk in there the day after the season. He hasn't done that. I don't know if he's going to do that, but I can tell you he hasn't done that yet. But if I were him, I would do that. John, I got to run, man. I appreciate it. Have a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season. You think I could squeeze him in? Let me get Jimbo in Upper Darby on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jimbo? Real quick, man. I'm up against it.
Who's this talking?
How are you, buddy?
This reminds me a lot of back when Randall Cunningham took over for Ron Jaworski. And I don't think there was a big hit for him back then.
Yeah, well, that was a different situation. Ron Jaworski and I got to run, Jimbo. I appreciate the call. Ron Jaworski was at the tail end of his career. Randall Cunningham was going to be the guy moving forward. So it's a different scenario. It's going to play out. It hasn't happened yet. I hope we cleared that up today. I hope we cleared up the difference between fact, Carson has not demanded a trade or complained or said anything of the sort, versus speculation. If this happens in the future, he may want to want out. Everybody out there, I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas. Thank you to Connor Thomas, Nat Marlowe, Dylan McKinnon. Stay tuned. Devon Givens coming up with Tyler Zuli. I'm Rob Motti reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.